give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic, 2 o'clock on this Friday, a football Friday. There's also Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas Eve to everybody out there. We hope you're all safe, healthy, getting things together, getting ready for the big day tomorrow, of course, with your family, your friends, as we get ready for a football game this weekend as well on Sunday with your Philadelphia Eagles. We'll get into a lot of the birds, previewing things with them and the Giants this weekend. Sunday game at Lincoln Financial Field. Also, checking back in from last night with the 76ers and the Atlanta Hawks, where you just heard D. Lineham. Great show. Always great to follow D. Talk to her during the breaks. Pick her brain a bit as we vent with everything that we saw last night. Connor Thomas is in. He's producing the show. We got Dylan McKinnon hanging out as well. We got you covered. And at 4 o'clock, as always, during the Mike Missinelli show, as we fill in for Mike, Ty, and Jen on this Christmas Eve, Brian Westbrook, he decided he's going to hang out with us from 4 to 5, the 4 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So we've got you covered. We got it all situated for you. Sit back, relax, let's hang out, unless you are out there. And we want to talk to you about that, too. I know a couple of guys who had to make some last-minute runs, and I know you're out there. When I was pulling in, I was coming through Lincoln Drive. So as I'm coming through Lincoln Drive, of course, you can see the traffic on 76 going towards Plymouth Meeting and King of Prussia, and it was packed. And that's all I could see. So I know you're out there. We know it. Connor knows it. I know it. You're out there. You're listening in your car. You're heading to your next destination before, Connor, what did it close, like 6 o'clock? Everything probably shut down about 6 o'clock. So you're out there. You're hanging with us. You're getting to your destination. Give us a call while you're listening, 610-632-0975. And without telling us what you're getting, why are you waiting last minute again? Everybody does it. Everyone does it. Why?
Listen, man, I'm a last-minute guy myself. I don't know what to tell you. It's just in some people's DNA.
Okay.
You got time, you'll use all the time you got.
All right.
I like to think of it as efficiency. You got all these days leading up to Christmas. I'm going to use every one of them.
Very true. Efficiency, I like that one. So we'll get into all of that. If you're out there, you're making your last-minute runs. It is a good time, though. It's always fun because you are getting that last-minute run. You might find some deals. You might find some things that you didn't expect to find. You'll pick that up last minute as well for the people in your life that you want to get some things for today on this Christmas Eve. But let's start with last night. We'll follow what D was doing, and we got some people who want to check in with us about it as well. And we'll get to the birds, certainly, as we get ready for the Eagles and the Giants. We'll mix both in. We'll have our Twitter poll as well as we do that. This afternoon also, and we have a pretty good one. I think Connor came up with a really good one to throw your way about the 76ers and specifically about one person. He didn't kind of tell me exactly what it was, but when he plays it out there, he just mentioned one name, and I said, I'm in. I'm ready for that one. But last night they had a tough loss to a team, and with the Atlanta Hawks coming in on the second night of a back-to-back here in Philadelphia, playing the Sixers at the center, where the Sixers have won 4 games in a row overall, non-playoff related, and they've taken the 2 of the 3-game series so far this regular season. Last night was the final game, looking for a sweep, and the Sixers have won 4 in a row regular season games at the center. They come in Atlanta last night with 6 players down due to COVID, another because of injury, and they simply spit the bed last night, and it was a terrible loss. They lost 98-96. Atlanta got up 32-18 early on in the first quarter, and right away you're like, all right, this is not supposed to be happening with a team that played to the wire the night before against the Orlando Magic at home, and they lost the game. They get in kind of late, have to take their COVID testing. If you listen to the broadcast last night, as we were starting in the pregame coverage I did at 6:50, speaking to Tom McGinnis right around 6:56 before I handed things off for him to do the game. And he mentioned, dropping a bomb on us, that the TV people for the Atlanta Hawks had to leave the broadcast area because they were questioned, of course, with potentially being positive, dealing with all the COVID issues that they had. So they had a mess going on. Yet, and still, they get off to a 14-point advantage. The Sixers just played on Monday, so they had a couple of days off. But you would think that would also give you time to rest and recuperate and get yourself together. as far as the things that you needed to do. And sure, you lost Danny Green due to the health and safety protocol. George Niang and Andre Drummond, Shake Milton, already on that list. But you get back Tyrese Maxey, Furkan Korkmaz. And you would think, again, you have an advantage over the Atlanta Hawks. You don't.
No. I mean, really, the only time in the NBA season you should ever be rusty is following the All-Star break. And even that, like,
and I also give them a, also give teams a break coming off of a long road trip, six games road trip.
Right.
You come home, you're ready to get away from that road trip. You're ready to get home. It takes you another day to kind of get your clocks back in order and get your body right. And after that, all right, it's time to get back on our normal schedule. That's about it. And look, I know it's a long season, the 82 games, but you had a game last night in which you should have won. Cam Reddish, he got a little banged up later on with his ankle. He had to leave the game. He didn't come back. And Bogdan Bogdanovic off the bench going into the fourth quarter was 0 for 10. So in the final quarter, he went 4 for 7, lit them up in the final 2.5 minutes, and essentially locked in that win for the Atlanta Hawks. But it shouldn't have been that close. You should not have gotten down by 14 early on. And it should not have been the case when you tied it up at 51 apiece at the break to come out and then lose the third quarter again, when you had every reason to pick up that victory last night. There were a lot of factors. You forced them to turn the ball over 16 times, leading to 17 points for you. Advantage you. You only turned the ball over 8 times, and they only get 6 points off of it. 3-point opportunities. They only made 7. You only made 6. Now, Seth Curry, Joel Embiid, perfect 4 for 4 between the two of them, both 2 for 2 on the night. Everyone else, 2 for 20, what did I say, 27? 2 for 23 for the rest of the team shooting from behind the 3-point line. Not good. Offensive rebounds, not a big discrepancy, but second chance points, the opportunities are there. You had no business losing that. Now, Doc Rivers he spoke last night after the game, as always, with his post-game presser. He had a couple of things to say. One of them, he said it all in one sentence where you hear what he's saying, you're aggravated with the explanation, and then one thing that drove you kind of crazy. For me, we'll see what you guys think. Here's Doc Rivers quickly post-game after the Sixers loss.
I think everything tonight, I mean, I didn't think we played with great, by the way, we have guys out too, by the way. You know, tonight was our best advantage as far as guys being out. And you got to win tonight, honestly. But we didn't, because I thought we approached the game very casual and we played that way. I thought they did whatever they wanted offensively. I thought they were aggressive defensively.
All right, they did have the best advantage with the other team shorthanded. I agree with them there. The fact that in the very beginning, he mentioned how they didn't play well enough, obviously he's correct. But then he throws in there, by the way, we also had people out. Yes, you did. You have 4 people out who are rotational players. They had 6 people out, rotational players, 4 of them which were starters. You had 4 starters if you include Tyrese Maxey, even though he came off the bench, giving you 33-plus minutes and 17 points, shooting 7 of 16 from the field in his first game back. You have 4 starters and Furkan Korkmaz back. No excuse. No excuse whatsoever for me that you can lay that part out there. Is it true that you also have people out? Absolutely. Trae Young was out, all-star, all-NBA player. Your Kevin Huerter is another starter. Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot is a defender, is a starter. You also are missing Lou Williams as well. And you have... who else was out? Solomon Hill, as we mentioned, and Danilo Gallinari and Clint Capella. That's a big loss for the Atlanta Hawks.
That's like the full names of everyone who impacted that series last
year. That's a big, big list of people. Yes, you are missing Danny Green, a starter, and 3 rotational players. I'm not ignoring that, but you also went into Boston on Monday with way less players and did what you did in beating that basketball team. Why couldn't you do it last night? I didn't like the excuse of we also had people out, which is true. They have more people out if you want to throw that out there, because they also had injured players out as well. And then to point out that they weren't ready to play, it seemed like, basically is what he said. That's on the head coach to get them ready to go. What's going on? What's the problem here?
You can't approach things casually. Like, you can't do that.
You're not good enough.
No, and even if you are, like, you're supposed to be a professional coach of a professional basketball team. What you do is you show up and you show out every single night. When the Warriors were putting together probably the greatest regular season of all time, they didn't care if they had already won 60 games on the season.
They're trying to stomp you into the floor.
Every single time.
Every time.
It's
and that's why teams hate them now and reveled in the fact that last season when they had an off season because Kevin Durant left, Klay Thompson still wasn't back. Steph Curry got hurt a little bit. He wasn't out there. You had some young players, and it just wasn't the right mix last season. They wanted to beat the crap out of the Golden State Warriors. Just 2 days ago, in an interview or a podcast, Austin Rivers said that they're a machine and they keep rolling. And he said, I can't stand them. I just cannot stand them because they've been doing what they've been doing for 5 years against the NBA. Because they didn't let up. They didn't take the foot off the gas. They were good enough to. They didn't. And they continually do this, and they've done this a number of times this season, which is why they are sitting at 16-16 on this campaign, and it has everything to do with them, their approach, the fact that Ben Simmons is not there, which we'll talk to a few people here, and it's frustrating to watch them play basketball right now. And we want to talk to you about some of the leftover things from last night. 610-632-0975. The team is 32 games in the books. They're sitting at 500. They've had many games like this where they've lost these games, and they shouldn't have. They should have taken down that Atlanta Hawks team last night. There was no business. They had no business hanging around with the Sixers last night, yet and still they did. What's the problem for you with this team right now? I know it's Simmons, and we will talk about him. But what else? Playing off of everything that D talked about, what else is driving you nuts right now with this basketball team? 610-632-0975. We'll get Connor's thoughts on this. We'll talk to you all about it. I have my issues, and we'll do it all together as we discuss all of these things as we go along. You're riding around. I know you're going from point A to point B all the way to Z to finish things up last minute for big things tomorrow. What's your main issue with this basketball team right now? 610-632-0975. Connor, let's start with you, then we'll get to Cisco and everybody else that we do have here. What's your number one issue with this team right now?
It just seems like the general mentality is, it's a weird thing because you can't quantify, like, they don't have a winning mentality. And I don't want to say that because they were the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference last year with a lot of the same guys returning. But their mentality this year, it's almost like there's so much swirling around the team with the Ben Simmons situation, the COVID issues, guys in and out of the lineup left and right while they try and get a couple new role players in and get used to guys because we're still got a lot of time left in the season. Just the mentality, it seems like they're mentally unable to this point to show up night in and night out. They'll show up sometimes and they'll play the Golden State Warriors and they'll handle them and they'll beat them by near double digits. And then they'll show up, and in a week-long span, in about a seven-day span, they'll lose to the shorthanded Miami Heat, the shorthanded Atlanta Hawks, both at home, both in games that you have to go out and win. It's almost like the inconsistency of approach, not even performance, because you're going to have off nights. The inconsistency of approach, sometimes mentally, the team as a whole will shrink away mm-hmm. from opportunities. And you can't be in the NBA, you cannot get away with that. You can't just sneak in as a 7 or an 8 seed and go on a run. It doesn't happen. It's not hockey. It's not the NFL. It's not the MLB. You have to find a way.
It's not the bubble.
Exactly.
Where Miami did it and they made the noise and they got all the way to the finals.
So the inconsistent mental approach just bothers the hell out of me.
All right. That's it for Connor. What is it for you? 610-632-0975. That's Connor Thomas. I'm Devon Gibbons. We're filling in for Mike Misnelli, Tyrone Johnson, and Jen Scordo here on the Mike Misnelli Show from 2 to 6. 610-632-0975. We'll also get to the Eagles and the Giants in a little bit because that is certainly a big game this weekend with the San Francisco 49ers now 8-7 after their loss last night to the Tennessee Titans on Thursday Night Football. Some meaningful things there for the Philadelphia Eagles in terms of positioning for the playoffs as we get ready for this weekend for the Birds and the Giants. Again, 610-632-0975. We'll tell you right now, the 2 o'clock hour is, in fact, brought to you by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Coughlin. Attention, HVAC contractors, for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pensauken, or Westchester today. All right, let's get to the phones, 610-632-0975, and tell us, if all you can, what are you doing out there shopping so late? And if you can, sneak in and what are you getting? Let us know. All right, let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975. Let's kick things off in Bluebell with Cisco, starting things off on this Football Friday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Cisco.
Merry Christmas, my brother.
Merry Christmas, man.
Hey, I think the Sixers issue is threefold. Number one, no point guard. They haven't had a point guard in years. And I mean a good one. And I think a lot has to do with not having enough talent. And number three, I think it's Doc Rivers. Mm. I listened to the J.J. Redick podcast. He had George Niang on there.
Yep.
Did you hear it?
I have not heard it yet, but I do know that George was on there. Yep.
Yeah. And George Niang said when Doc Rivers gets into the regular season, his practices turns into paradise. And here's a guy that came from Utah. What makes him say that when he practiced in Utah, now with Philadelphia? These practices are too soft. That's what I'm getting.
So let me ask you this, because I have not heard it yet, and maybe some of the other listeners haven't heard it either, and Connor as well, Cisco. What did J.J. Redick say about that, simply because J.J. spent so much time with him in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because J.J. Redick laughed and smirked, yeah, like that, when he mentioned the practices with Doc Rivers. That's what J.J. Redick's reaction was. And I think, is Doc Rivers calling Doug Moe, going to the movies, don't practice? Or what is he doing in the practice?
Well, this is the interesting part. Here's the interesting part about you saying that, Cisco, because some of the things that I heard about Rivers coming in when he was joining the Sixers, which is why, while I give him credit for what he did last season, I thought he did a tremendous job during the regular season. They got the number one seed. Playoffs, he had some issues in there, but number one was Ben Simmons, clearly. But sometimes he can check out, and he's more worried about getting to his golf. In Los Angeles, that's easier to do than it is right now in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. He's stubborn, doesn't necessarily listen to his assistant coaches as much as people would like, especially in-game. And those are part of the issues that he has as a head coach. Now, I had my own reasons why I didn't want the Sixers to do it, but he was the best option, so I understood why they did it. I accepted it for what it was. Dave Yeager was my first choice that I wanted them to go out there and get. So some of these things that Niang says and J.J. is mocking him for, and Cisco, you laying out why he might be a problem with so many others, I'm not surprised. I really am not. And some of the things that we played there in that audio cut there, you know, he's, as someone in the league said to me yesterday, he's defensive now when he answers these questions.
Yeah. But you should have heard the podcast with Jimmy Butler on the J.J.
I heard that one.
Yeah. I mean, Butler said it was three teams he was on, Chicago, Philadelphia, and I believe Minnesota. They didn't practice like Miami, because Spoelstra would jump in your behind during practice.
He's a great coach.
They said both the other teams, it was just practice. Sure, just go to practice, do this, do that. He said when he got to Miami, that's why he went there, because he knew practices was going to be top shelf practice. He knew that.
And that's what the reputation is there, Cisco, in Miami. And it's a real thing there. Listen, we got to keep it moving, man. Merry Christmas to you and the family. Enjoy.
All right.
You got it, man. Thank you. 610-632-0975. Doesn't surprise me. And look, they don't actually have a lot of practice time during the regular season, because that's just the nature of the schedule of the NBA. It plays out that way. I don't know enough about practice. All I get to see is the last 10, maybe, 10 minutes of practice when the media is allowed to come in there. And they're running some stuff with, you know, it's real generic and you really don't get a chance to see much. But George says that. JJ smirks. It's not something I'm sure as a Sixer fan you want to hear.
No, and we played the cut on the morning show a little bit. I've got it if you want to hear it at any point during the show, ready to go. And it's just like, talking about the practice being paradise, my first thought is thinking about teams that Doc was with. Like, the Sixers, when he came in, he did have an established, even though they were younger, an established kind of leadership. Even if they weren't totally veterans like he's used to. Like, Joel had been here a couple years. Ben had been here a couple years. He was familiar with Tobias, and Tobias has been in the league a couple years. Like, his top three guys, they should kind of have an idea of what they're doing at this point. In L.A., he had the Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, guys who have been around for a while, team.
Chris Paul, J.J. Redick.
Exactly, DeAndre Jordan, who was, like, younger while he was there, but still, like, he had leadership. And even when he won with the Celtics, those are some guys who had been around for a while.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he's gotten so used to having those guys, and now Ben sits out, and you've got a rotating door that these younger guys almost have to be pushed harder, and the easier practices may not play as well in that scenario.
No. And it's, I guess it's showing right now on the floor. And that was one of the things that J.J. Redick had a problem here with under the Brown tenure, when they would be at practice and Joel Embiid was very selective. Well, when he practiced, J.J. would get frustrated from time to time. I could have stayed in bed. If he's not as close as they were, he wanted them to practice. Simmons would be upset with Embiid's practice habits, so then he wouldn't want to practice. So it seemed like it's carrying over where it's a paradise, according to George Niang, under Doc Rivers' leadership as far as the practices go. And right now it's showing on the floor. And I'm not ignoring the COVID part of things. I understand where things are. I get it. But it's where we are right now, and it's not a good thing with this basketball team sitting at 16-16, 500 after 32 games. 610-632-0975. Sean, we got you first when we get back. We got Reese and Adam and everybody else. Also, we got some open lines if you want to check in. 610-632-0975. What's your main issue with the Sixers right now after that loss last night that really stood out for a lot of people? Some angry people as we went in the post last night. Really frustrated with that loss to the Atlanta Hawks. What's your main issue with the team? And we'll get the Twitter poll on the other side from Connor Thomas. See what that is in regards to the Sixers. And we'll check in with the Birds as well. Brian Westbrook at 4 o'clock. I'm Devon Givens, Connor Thomas. We're hanging out for the Mike Missinelli Show until 6 right here on Christmas Eve, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.975 The Fanatic.
Hey, jingity
jing. It's right. Good one. 231. 97.5 The Fanatic. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. I'm Devon Givens filling in. Connor Thomas here with us as well. No Tyrone, no Jen. They have the day off as they get ready for the holiday tomorrow. And we appreciate you all hanging out with us as you explore the city, your surrounding areas on Christmas Eve, as the roads are packed out there, as I saw. And be careful out there. Stay safe. Be kind to each other as you all go out there and try to get things done. Our phone number is 610-632-0975. And we have to get to our Twitter poll here as we get back to the phones with Jay, Sean, Adam, and everybody that's there. The Twitter poll for the 2 o'clock hour is powered by Moyer.com. Make sure your gear is ready for whatever winter brings. Powered by Moyer.com carries thousands of OEM and aftermarket parts and accessories for outdoor power equipment from brands like Husqvarna, Honda, MTD, and more. Order online at poweredbymoyer.com. All right, it's time for the Twitter poll. What do we have here, Connor?
Thanks, Devon. Gotta play the trumpets still. I love the trumpets.
Trumpets always work.
Our Christmas Eve Twitter poll. Don't sound like Jen. No, I don't have that beautiful voice, but I'll do my best. Our Twitter poll for Christmas Eve, does Tobias Harris catch too much heat in Philadelphia? Of course, that can be found on Twitter at 975Fanatic. Right now, leading out of the gates, no with 71% of that vote, and yes, just getting 29%.
Okay. All right. That's it. And see, that great work by you, because I think that's a great question, because a night like last night, Tobias Harris posts 16 points in 38 minutes, which led the team in minutes played, 38 minutes and 8 seconds, 5 of 14 from the floor. He is being asked to shoot more three-pointers by his head coach. He was 0 for 6 from deep last night, 3 for 3 on Monday against the Boston Celtics. Got to the free throw line 6 times, converting all 6, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Yet and still, Tobias Harris is, as someone mentioned last night during In the Post, he is an easy target for a lot of people. But is it warranted when it comes to Tobias Harris? My opinion of Harris from afar before he arrived here in Philadelphia was, nice player, can score. I like him for what he does. He's a good player. Traded 4 times. Clearly teams like him. But why wouldn't Jerry West, one of the best that has done it as an executive, why did he decide to not give him more than the $80 million that he offered for 4 years, which Tobias Harris and his agent, who is his dad, they declined. He was eventually traded. They were going to test the market anyway. He cashed out at 180 with the Sixers. Some say he makes $100 million more than he should. And that 80 that Jerry West offered was the right number. I, too, believe he is overpaid. Think he is a nice player. He is a pro's pro. A very nice guy, a likable player. Miscast right now on this team is the number 2 scoring option behind Joel Embiid. Last season, he was having an all-star level season. I thought he should have made it. Simmons made it over him. It was what it was. Playoffs, first round, you know, all right, whatever, they beat Washington. Second round, he had a game or two. Game 7 really stands out. He shot a lot. He didn't make many. They lose. He was part of it. And that's what it is. He's going to get you 18 to 20 a night. I've said I would like 22 a night from him because I think he's more than capable of doing it. I have spoken about Tobias Harris's game where I feel like a lot of his points are kind of eh. Even though he gives you 18 to 20, I would like some impactful points from him, like we saw last night where he went into the game and in the second quarter, I believe, he gave them 8 points in the quarter. And I remember what he did, how he impacted the game, how it felt when he did what he did in the game against the Atlanta Hawks. Oftentimes, as we were talking about it a little bit earlier, Connor, he seems to disappear in spots. Dylan McKinnon saying the same thing. And so many people are ready to lay blame at his feet. When you do sign a contract like that, though, taking that type of money, you are going to be held to a very high standard of what is expected of you behind Joel Embiid when the double team is constantly coming and you do certain things. I've talked about it a lot watching him closely now, more closely because he's been here with the team now since 2019 because of the trade happening in 2019. Where I know what his moves are going to be. I know what he's going to do. They don't stop him all the time because he still gets you 18 to 20. So he can score in this league. But again, is he a number 2 option on the championship team? Right now, I think it's becoming clear that it's not. And he is a player who is now being a little more frustrated with it because he said what he said last week after a game where he talked about fans don't care about your well-being, what life is off the floor, at home, so on and so forth. And I disagree with him. I thought he was flat out wrong in that because you put one fan base, number 1, into a whole box. That's not fair. There are some that are harder than others. There are some who are understanding that that the coronavirus will knock you down and take your legs away from you a bit. And I look at him and I say, he is who he is. He's Tobias Harris. There's nothing special. He will give you the 18 to 20. That's what he's going to give you. When Simmons and Embiid are not in the game for an entire game, they miss a game, he will step up and rebound for you. I know that. He's not the best passer. He is who he is. He He's Tobias Harris. He's going to give you 18 to 20. Will it help you win? So far, no. Toronto, no. Atlanta, no. And this year, so far, again, no. But don't forget he had the coronavirus, and some are more impacted than others. Does he take more heat in this town than he should? That's a tough question. That's an interesting question, because Simmons is polarizing for what he is. Tobias Harris is now polarizing for a different way as a player who doesn't do enough for people who want more from him, where he's probably not capable of giving any more than he already gives you. So that's an interesting question. So I guess we'll throw that out there with you all as you talk about the Sixers, Simmons, and the team overall in its totality. Does Tobias Harris take too much heat, or does he take too much blame here in town when it comes to the Sixers' lack of success, or even when they are having success and he's not there to help out? People are ready to ship him out. And here's one more thing, Connor, before you say something and we get to Sean to start off this segment. I've said this before, and I said it at night, so maybe people haven't heard it. Different audience, 2 o'clock here in the afternoon drive. I would not be surprised if he's traded before Ben Simmons. Wouldn't shock me in one bit. He doesn't, to me, seem like a Daryl Morey player who wants three-pointers, gets to the foul line, and gets to the rim and finishes there. He doesn't get to the free throw line a lot. Last couple of games, yes, he has. He got there 16 times in 2 games, which is encouraging. Will he be assertive enough every game doing just that, where he's getting those extra opportunities to get points to add to his total from what he gets from the field? And will he make his three-pointers? So far, that has not been the case. I would not be surprised one bit if Tobias Harris was traded. He has 3 years remaining on his contract, which is, you know, not a great contract. It's called for what it is, not a great deal. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if he is traded before Ben Simmons. I would not.
No, you see, it's interesting. And I could see that too. I'd be a little bit surprised if he was moved first, because I feel like Ben should still be the priority. And I feel like even moving to Tobias.
But Ben Simmons is Ben Simmons.
Right.
For whatever it is that you want back, and Daryl Morey and Elton Brand are trying to get for him, he is still Ben Simmons. Teams are going to try to fleece you because he's Ben Simmons.
Right, but Tobias, you're going to have to try and fleece somebody because of that contract.
Correct.
So it'll be interesting to see who does get moved. My thought on the does he catch too much heat thing, it's a weird balance, because when you sign him as a third option. That there are other teams in the league that would have thrown that money at him. Like, I don't think the Sixers are the only team on the planet that were willing to give him that contract.
Someone was going to pay him.
Right.
I believe there were like 4 teams that were going to pay him.
So you look at that, and you're signing him to bring him into a situation where you look at a Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and you think you have 2 players already on an all-pro trajectory. And then it's kind of unfair to him, because what you signed him to be, it didn't work out that way. Joel Embiid continued, but Ben dropped off to the point where now he no longer even wants to play for this basketball team. So forcing Tobias into that second role almost isn't fair for the role you signed him for at the time. But now that he's in that second role, he's producing even less than what you would have expected for him in that third role under the contract you paid him. So is the role he's in unfair? Slightly, yeah, because of what Ben is doing to this team.
But
his production is still not on the level you'd want in general.
And you signed that contract.
Exactly.
You know what comes with that contract.
It's an interesting balance.
You know what comes with that contract. When you do that, it's a max player contract. There are a lot of max players in the NBA that give you way more production. They might give you around that 18-20. What else are you doing to help out? And how impactful are your points? And why are you not doing it a little bit more in these games? Does the coronavirus play a part in it, because he did have it? Quite possibly. But here's the other thing. When he said that, which drove me crazy, people have been saying that way before the coronavirus for Tobias Harris. That he's nothing special. He does the same thing. I know his moves. He'll give you dribble right-handed, give you a hesitation and drive right, and it's stiff because he's more of a straight-up player. His body is straight up. He doesn't lean more. He's 6'9". He can shoot over you because of his wingspan a little bit and his height, but you know what he's going to do. Then he'll give you the right-hand dribble to the left leg, go, but he's not fast enough where he's really getting by, and he doesn't get enough lift to get his shots off. And then the other is his pull-up jump shot, which he can get to as well when he gets to a spot. But they want three-pointers. So does he take too much heat? Does he? 610-632-0975. Honestly, I would say no. I would say no. You signed the contract that comes with it. The same reason Iguodala got that same heat when he signed that $80 million deal to be the, quote, franchise player for the Sixers when Allen Iverson was moved on from. Iguodala was never the franchise player, and we knew it. You knew you needed to surround him with certain types of people. He got heat, too. He got heat, too. Let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975. Sean joining us in Montgomery County here. Sean, Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you. Actually, it's Sharp, S-H-A-R-P.
Sharp, what's going on? My apologies.
It's all good. So, you know what, man? It's frustrating listening to this. You know, like, you know, I was fortunate enough. I played D1 ball. I played some overseas ball, you know, so I kind of know the game, right?
Yep,
so
yep.
Then, and you ask what's wrong with this team. It's like the situation where you chop off the head, the body will follow. Ben was the head of this team on offense and defense. He was the head of the snake. You lose that. Now everybody's exposed. Now everybody's talking about what Tobias can't do. Everybody's talking about what Embiid can't do. Then now Seth Curry got to handle the ball more. Tyrese got to come off the bench and try to run the team. Everybody's exposed now. Everybody's exposed to criticism. Doc's being exposed to criticism. We didn't really appreciate what we have. Everybody talking about, oh, well, Ben, what did he do against Atlanta? All right, a lot of guys folding the play. It's the playoffs. People understand it's the playoffs. They're like, it's like it's almost life or death, careers on the line. Like some guys fold in those situations when they first get exposed to it. But he's a young guy. He's what, 25?
Yeah, but Sharp, it wasn't his first exposure, and he has done that for three seasons in a row. And that's coming, Sean, I mean Sharp, from a fan of his, where I've watched him like you have. After Grant, those first rounds in what was it, Miami in 17 and Brooklyn in 18, the second rounds have been his bugaboo, and it reared its ugly head against the Atlanta Hawks.
The second round is his kryptonite.
100%.
Even in that game seven, what did he do to Trae Young? He did enough defensively to Trae Young for us to win that game.
Yep.
And beat 8 turnovers. Other guys didn't show up. Like, come on. It's not all, you know what I mean? It's like Philly is a city that eats their young. Young players who don't quite get whatever it is they think they're supposed to be, they attack them. Like, to the point where the guy just, we see it all the time. We saw it with Witt to a certain degree. You've seen it with Ben. It's like, and even with Jalen Hurts, so if you want to switch to football, like, guys are waiting for him to fail. As soon as he fell, they're going to come at him. They're going to unleash him.
Yeah, but Sharp, I thought Ben Simmons deserved everything he got from that. He got the credit for his defense against Trae Young. He also got the attacking from everyone because of what he did in that moment where it was a big moment, now a defining moment for him. He did that. Nobody else did that. And while he did do the good job against Trae Young, we pointed out Kevin Herter going for a career high in the playoffs 27 because he was cooking Seth Curry. We talked about Embiid with his 8 turnovers, and I just laid out Tobias Harris shooting like 24 times, but 7 for 24 because he couldn't make a shot, and Doc Rivers coaching poorly. Though all of those things were pointed out,
right? And
and he's part of the blame.
He's part of the blame. And then again, you got Herter, and I want to throw this in there too because I know your cousins with Mikael. I'm cousins with Mikael through marriage.
Yeah,
I grew up that, and you know we played ball coming up and everything. So I appreciate what you're doing on the radio.
Oh, no doubt, man. Appreciate it. Right. Yeah, we got to catch up then.
No doubt. But again, on that playoff series, who was we missing? We were missing Danny Green. Danny Green could have matched up with Kevin Herter.
Yep.
You got little Seth Curry. Seth Curry, like you say, rock the baby. Like Herter, he's 6'7", 6'8". You got a kid. Got a guy 6'2" on him. Like, it was easy money for him. So that was another situation that was bad. And it was hard to – it was just a hard situation. Game 7, again, and Embiid says he's the closer, and I love Embiid. Did he close out for us in that game?
No, he did not.
So why are we just focusing on what Ben can't do? And then Ben got all types of stuff going on off the court. We're not even going to get into all that, but The kid is just he's a different type of kid, man. For whatever reason,
in a lot of ways,
right?
In a lot of ways, Sharp. Right. A lot of ways, but look, man, it's part of the gig, and you know, as a player yourself, playing overseas and all that, you know how it goes. And what people supported him, they were behind him for all those things, including when those off the court things were happening with his family and all, and people supporting him and having his back. And but when you do what you did, especially when you look at a team like that where the path was there for you to get to a championship, dealing with that rebuild and you being a prized part of that rebuild and all that stuff, man, it is what it is, man.
And it's so unfortunate because I think this is the year where we really had a lot of horses. Like, if you got that guy in there that can just distribute and get these guys clean looks, because that's why all their percentages are down. They're not getting clean looks. Everybody, oh, well, Ben don't shoot. But what he did is he collapses the defense.
Yes, he did.
As soon as he gets across half court, the whole defense is focused on him. Even if it means a guy playing off of him, oh, I'm just going to play off him. All right, well, what Ben does, he closes the gap, and he's in the paint. Every single offensive possession, he's in the paint. Your point guard is in the paint.
Yeah.
People aren't even realizing that. Well, like, he's not shooting. He's collapsing the defense.
He absolutely does. I never ignore 17 points, 9 boards, 8 assists, all of that stuff. I never ignore it. What drove me crazy is the second round, as you mentioned, the kryptonite. Hey, Sharp, you know me and you can do this for a while, and we will once we connect through Jack, Kale, and all that. And we'll get all that figured out. But listen, man, Merry Christmas. Thanks for the call, man. We'll catch up. All right, you got it. Sharp joining us there. Because, look, listen, man, which is why I was a fan. I am a fan. Just can't happen here. He did all those things. Those others did take their medicine from it. Maybe not as much as him. His stuff was more glaring because he did go 4 quarters in a playoff series where he had a chance as a favorite, number one seed, to advance. When Danny Green went down in game number 3, when I came on the morning show with Connor and John and Bob and Jamie and Pat, and we talked about this, I said they missed him in that game 4. They missed him in the game 4. After he went down in game 3, they missed him. Simple. They missed him. He's not great, but in that moment, they needed him. He can defend Kevin Huerter. He can defend Lou Williams a little bit. He can defend the wings that they had on the floor. Simmons couldn't do it all. Thibault was battling through a little bit of an injury there as well. I agree with Sharp there. But you also, it's inexcusable to not take a shot in the fourth quarter when some of the other things were happening where others weren't getting theirs that we know you can score. Get it how you get it. All we need is a point, 2 points, another point, 2 points. Get it done. Let's advance to the next round and we'll reconfigure things with the next matchup against Brooklyn or Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's almost like, and we're so far away from it, we got to go back memory-wise a little bit to get there. Because But the narrative clouds it for a lot of people, especially like people who are listening to us every day, us doing this every day, and we of course, we talk it every day, so we're honed in on it, but it sometimes gets clouded thinking back to it. Like, were there other issues with that series outside of 25? Absolutely. When you blow leads like that and you lose to a team talent-wise that looks that inferior to your team, yeah, there are other issues. Like, he wasn't the only one.
Yeah,
and Sharp's right with, like things are glaring. And Cisco talked about it a little bit, too, with the no point guard thing, how you still need that guy who can distribute the ball a little bit better, but he was the biggest glaring issue. The not shooting in the fourth quarters, it just can't happen. Like, the way that he impacted, there was other stuff that went on, but he stood out so much more just because of the manner of what he, and all second round series, how he almost handles them. It's crazy.
They miss him terribly, and unfortunately, he's not coming back. I don't think he's coming back. 610-632-0975. Adam, Chuck, Jeremiah, Shan, Jay, we got you all when we get back. 25 minutes commercial free. 610-632-0975. We'll keep this all going with the Sixers falling last night, 16-16. The Simmons talk Sharp with some great points. It's all good stuff. We do need to catch up with some football as well. Brian Westbrook will join us at 4 o'clock. The Football Friday on the Fanatic is brought to you by Pump Man Philly. Need a water pump expert for your facility? contact Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. 610-632-0975. Connor Thomas was producing. I'm Devon Gibbons, wearing from the Mike Misnelli Show right here on this Football Friday, Christmas Eve, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Santa baby, slip the sable under
oh, look at that.
For me.
Okay.
Being an awful good girl.
All right. Santa,
you like this one?
Fanatic. I like it. Pretty chill. I had to get on. Like, I don't know if Eric heard it. I know Eric listens a lot. I had to get on Eric because I didn't have any Boys to Men Let It Snow. You know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, we got all these classics. There are other Christmas songs.
Yeah. What city do we do this show from?
Philadelphia.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Almost like that one's a requirement.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, and Dan kindly put it in there. I think it was already in the system in our catalog, but it wasn't in the rotation. I was like, what's going on here? Just
can't
forgetting
happen.
About the locals? Come on.
That's a violation.
Can't do that. All right, 610-632-0975. Just, you know, that was my little problem. Dan corrected it. We got it fixed for that night. So maybe we have to,
we'll see what I can
manually
do.
Put that back in there as well. Let us know as the people ride around. A couple more hours to go for the folks. 610-632-0975. We got our Twitter poll. We'll let you know about the Twitter poll update in a little bit this hour as we hang out with you. Right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, in for Mike Misnelli and Tyrone Johnson, Jen Scordo, Brian Westbrook in the next hour, 4 o'clock. You'll hang out with us, take your phone calls as well, talk some birds as we get ready for the Giants. Speak on the Sixers as well. Brian's a big basketball fan. I might have to try to convince him to go to Brooklyn with me next week.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a tough trip for him, yeah, right?
Not at all. Might have to get him to come, just get out of the house. Come on. Go watch the Sixers play. Kevin Durant there. They should be back by then. James Harden is cleared now for tomorrow's game, the Christmas Day game. They're trying to get Kevin Durant cleared. Giannis is already cleared. Trae Young may be cleared. The NBA is not messing around for Christmas Day games. They want the stars available.
Yeah, I was wondering how that was going to work when all this started happening about a week ago. I was like,
yes, indeed.
Christmas is a lot of money for this league.
Yes, indeed. You say, you don't have any symptoms? All right, you're cool. You only have to wait 4 days. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. There you go. 610-632-0975. We'll keep it going. We'll throw everything from last night, the Simmons conversation where Sharp just laid out a great argument for Simmons, and the Tobias Harris talk. Does he take too much heat? Too much blame? Tobias Harris. Let's go to Adam in Germantown with us here on this Christmas Eve. Adam, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. No phone problems, man. You're all good.
Yeah, I had to delete all my pictures pretty much.
Oh, wow. You had to clear some space, huh?
Well, it clears up the phone.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to make a point that you made last night. But I'm going to make first the point about Ben Simmons. It's obvious that Ben Simmons, I didn't give him enough credit when he did play for this team because he's not going to play anymore. He hit a lot of perimeter deficiencies, physically, defensively, and also coverage. So by signing Tobias Harris, Connor? He made a good point. This team, it actually made sense for Tobias Harris to be amongst the third star. Because even though I would never call him a star, I was all over Simmons. I was never a fan. But then I've started to realize after really finishing off watching this last condensed game, when this team lost to Lon Wright and Cam Reddish, I'm telling you, the broadcaster just giggled. He was like, good luck, you know. But that was pretty much the end of the game. Then I'm looking at the condensed game, and I see that Tobias Harris is pretty comfortable in the fourth quarter at the seven-minute mark. And he's making some shots, and he's making some nice passes from the top. And it looks like the Sixers are about to take the game away. But watching them in totality, without Ben Simmons, he hides the fact that they're slow. I know that what's-his-name wants to play at a slower pace, kind of for Embiid. But he would hide that, even if Embiid didn't catch up.
And, of course, it's only a slower pace in the half court, not in transition.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And because they don't get nearly the grab-and-goes, if any, now all of a sudden Tobias Harris is really got to make shot. He's not going to get a volume of transition threes. And you can say that for everybody. So it's like, it's not a terrible shooting team. They'll get better when they get back to the Yang kind of. He's a good intangible for this team.
Yeah, player. He is off the bench. Yep.
But when I look at this team, you made a point last night that always now without Ben Simmons is going to be the bugaboo for the Sixers. And it has to do with these new types of centers. Okongwu. He looks like Durant, kind of. I'm not saying like really. But I'm saying he's got a body type thin. But he can run. But he can also guard Embiid somehow one-on-one.
Yeah. Then he did it in the playoffs last year as well. Yep.
Gordy Jang came off the bench and was able to do the same thing.
Yep.
And here was a situation where you had no DeLon Wright and no Cam Reddish at the end of the game. They couldn't even get off a shot with Skylar Mays. Skylar Mays, yeah, wonderful role player at the end of your bench, but Skylar Mays couldn't handle it. Bogdanovich couldn't handle it. They were done. But the bottom line was, without Ben Simmons played every game. He was always the defense and energy. He hid deficiencies with their perimeter defense. Now, if teams can come out and guard Embiid one-on-one, and it usually happens from the second round on where they don't double.
Yep.
Without Ben Simmons, the Sixers aren't a contender anymore.
Well, Adam, you're right, man. And listen, thanks for the call. Again, Merry Christmas to you. We'll catch up with you later on. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Merry Christmas.
You got it, man. And it's a different team when he's not out there. We know that. But is it salvageable? I don't know. The one thing that we've constantly heard from the team was, publicly, we want him back. Sure, we'll evaluate the trade market, but we want him back. He doesn't want to play for them. 610-632-0975. Connor, you mentioned the George Niang on the J.J. Redick podcast. You guys played it this morning on the John Kincaid Show with Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch. So let's let the people hear what George Niang had to say about what was spoken about earlier with the practice habits, of course, of the Sixers.
Doc's made a great point of just being like, hey, we're going to take it, you know, one battle at a time, one day at a time. This is who we have for today. This is how we're going to make whether it's for practice, shoot around. And I say practice loosely. You know what I mean?
Once you get in season with Doc, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Life is an amazing place to be.
Okay. So you guys played that last week. I'm sorry. It's a beautiful thing once you get in season. Well, I guess the players like it. Yes, it didn't hurt them last season. They practiced fine. It was early. It was all good.
Who wouldn't like the easier practice? Like, as a player, sometimes, especially like guys at the professional level who have worked their whole life, worked their behinds off for years to get to where they're at, kind of like, yeah, okay, I know how to handle myself. It's nice. But then you get in a situation where it's like, sometimes you need to coach certain teams harder. It almost feels like he doesn't have that in him at this point.
Does this team need to be coached harder, or are they just, who they are, and it's what it is.
See, that's up to him to determine, yeah. Which outside, it's hard from this vantage point because we're not seeing, or at least I'm not seeing practice every day, even the little bit of media availability. I know you get down there from time to time to see them and everything. But so I don't know. But if that is an issue, like you got to be willing to do that. You can't just punt on practices when your teams fall into the Hawks missing six guys. Like, it can't happen.
Yeah, and I know they had practice the other days because we were given the option, of course, of showing up at practice and all of that. Inexcusable for them not to be ready for that game yesterday when it tipped off at 7:10. For them to then fall 32-18, I think it was. Again, let me check one more time. 32-18 after one going into the second quarter. Inexcusable. Can't do that. Jay and Mount Airy next with us here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay, happy holidays.
What's up, Jamal? Happy holidays.
What's going on?
Listen, you know, I just listened to that Yang clip there. You know, that's the reason why we are where we are today with Ben Simmons, you know, is because of that right after the game press conference. Doc Rivers said something right after the game. Somebody asked him, well, can you win with Ben Simmons? Doc said, well, I don't know if we can win with him. Joel Embiid said something right after the game 7, after you just lost, and he was asked where the turning point was. And then Joel Embiid responded, well, we all know where the turning point was. And he was referring to Ben not shooting the ball, mm-hmm. you know, under the basket, passing off to Matisse. So when you look at that, the reason why we're where we are today and not having Ben Simmons on this team is because of that day after press, that right after the game press conference. You know, that is why Ben is where he is right now, because he was probably looking at it like, okay, well, Embiid, listen, you've been out 30 games and I was here while you were out and I helped get us to the best record in the Eastern Conference. And you're going to throw me under the bus? You know, Ben does everything that Doc needed him to do except for shooting the ball. But we had 225-point leads in that series against Atlanta. And yet still, the focal point, I guess from Ben's perspective, is like everybody's dismissing everything that I did for this team, and they keep focusing on me passing that ball underneath the basket. That's the lasting image that the fans have, you know. And I guess from Ben's perspective, he's like, okay, get me out of here. You know, nobody likes me. Nobody respects what I do, because all we can remember is what he didn't do. I want this guy back on the team, you know, because he brings something really important to this team. Toughness, defense. He locked down Trey Young in those playoffs.
Yes, he did.
I go into every game confident when Ben is on the team. Now, I don't know what I'm getting. And even if you brought one of the other losers in, because Dame Lillard, he's a loser because he hasn't won a championship. Bradley Beal, loser, no championship.
So Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are losers too?
Huh?
So Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are losers too?
They're losers also. So let's keep the one that's going to at least defend other guys and make other guys, because those guys I just named, if you put Ben Simmons on them for defensive assignment, James Harden's not scoring 40. He may score 21, a tough 21. Dame Lillard is not scoring the way that he does. So we got to stop beating up Ben in this town for that one play. And I know everybody.
I don't think it was just the one play, though, Jay. That's the highlighted play. That's the one that's going to stand out. But you're right about the 25-point loss as far as they went through all of that stuff. But we can't ignore the four quarters where he didn't shoot a shot. And you can't just flat out ignore that just for the sake of argument and ignoring it. It happened, and it was a big part of what was going on. And you're right. They did blow those 25-point leads, and it all wasn't him. But he could have helped out in those areas as well as a player who does. Jane, we've talked for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't just look at the fact that his points per game dropped last year to 14. I still consider him a 17-point-per-game scorer because that's how good he is. I've backed him, and I've defended him for so many years. I could not after what happened in that playoff series. It was just again, inexcusable for something like that to happen when others are failing, as you mentioned. You also have other stars to step up. He is still that other star that I thought that there were opportunities for him to take advantage of in those series to say, again, let's get past this series. We'll forget about all that stuff. Let's now get to Brooklyn or Milwaukee, and we'll see if the mentality changes there as we are in the Eastern Conference Finals on the doorstep of a final. Everyone was to blame. What he did, again, was awful to me.
Okay, and you know what? Like I said, it's our, it's how we are as human beings. All we remember is that lasting image. I also remember
defending him in that Washington series where people say he had 4 points and 15 and 15, and I'm sitting there saying, folks, they won the game, and he played well. He didn't need more than what he gave you in the 4 points, 15 rebounds, and 15 assists. I defended him, too.
But he doesn't disappear. He offensively, yes, he may not be giving you what you were looking for. But defensively, see, that's what I'm saying. The lasting image is what he didn't do offensively.
Yeah, but I look at him as a two-way player, Jay. I never looked at him as a singular defensive player.
And we got to stop. And see, that's the problem, Devon. We got to stop looking at him.
You don't think he's a two-way guy?
Of other superstars.
But see, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's a two-way guy where he's going to be Paul George two-way guy or Kawhi Leonard two-way guy. I'm saying he's two-way guy with how he does it. But how he does it is also give you 17 points. With his other defensive performance, the assists, the rebounds, he did not.
Right. The steals. What he'll typically give you is the steals. Okay, but even despite that.
All right, all of that, you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong in any of that. I'm saying why are we just choosing to ignore the fact that he did not give you the points that he typically does?
Because
even if he wasn't going to give you the 17, give me the 12 and 14 and I'm winning.
Right, and see, and the reason why it's like that, Devon, is what I just said.
Uh-huh.
You know, every time we look at Ben and what he doesn't do, we start salivating over Damian Lillard, what he does, and James Harden, what he does, and Bradley Beal, what he does, and we start salivating, and we want that. But what you're not going to get is you're not going to get defensive toughness. You're not going to get anybody that's afraid to back down any of those guys I just named. So we got to take – here's the thing. We just got to take Ben – for what he is in hopes that he improves his free throw shooting. Because
that's what it's about right there. Yeah.
That if he can improve his free throw shooting, I'm okay. I can live and die with him, you know. But if he doesn't work on that part, because that's why he didn't take that shot in Atlanta and gave it up to Thibault, because he knows he can't make
free throws. He's afraid to get into the foul line. Yeah, he is.
Right.
Yeah, he absolutely is.
So he just needs to recognize what his weaknesses are. And once he does that, if he can do that...
Well, he did recognize it. That's why he passed the ball. It's just a matter of correcting it in game. He practices free throws. He does all those things, Jay. Jay, we got to go, man. Great stuff. Right. Appreciate it, man. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you. We appreciate it, man. That call went long, so we got to get some other people in. But, see, that's why I love having those types of discussions where we can get deep, sharp had it. Jay had it there. I know we're going to have some from Shannon, Chuck, Jeremiah, Dan, and everybody here as we go along. We'll get to some birds again. Of course, they play the Giants this weekend. Big football game in town as they host the Giants, you know, for as big as it is with no Daniel Jones and all that stuff. But
with Jake Fromm starting, as big as it can be.
Playoff implications are on the line.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, I got to tie up the 49ers now who are 8-7. You got to see what goes on there, even though the Niners have the head-to-head matchup, the edge on you for the Week 2 game back here in Philadelphia. But look, man. I never say that Simmons is not talented. I defended him for years. What he did for me, I can't back it anymore. I just can't. Shannon in Georgia with us next here as we go until 6 o'clock in for Mike Misnelli, Tyrone Johnson, and Jen Scordo. Connor Thomas here. I'm Devon Givens, Dylan McKinnon with us as well. Brian Westbrook at 4-610-632-0975. Shan, Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, brother. real quick on Ben Simmons, and I ended up this here, and I'll leave him alone since he's never going to play for Sixers again.
Yep.
In Philadelphia, man, we've gotten soft. Ben Simmons is the only max contract player in the history of the NBA to be pulled out the game in the last minute of several playoff games because he's a liability on the basketball court. Okay. We brag about him shutting down Trae Young, who still managed to average 30 points, 11 assists on one league in playoffs with Ben Simmons guarding him. I'm sorry. And we sit here and ask, why can't we get anybody for this guy? Because outside of Philadelphia, people look at Ben Simmons as an average basketball player that's a pretty good defender. You know, but the guy that's not going to take anywhere. I mean, I'm at the playoff. I'm at State Farm watching the game, and the crowd is getting hype every time they see Ben Simmons trying to guard Trae Young because they know Trae can take him at will. Yeah, it's anyway. Of course, he has the trouble with the
smaller guards. The wings he does very, very well against.
He actually guards Giannis better than he guards Trae Young. But the idea that he just got stopped, if you look at Trae Young's average against the Sixers, I think it's the second highest average he has against any team in the league, you know. So, you know, I digest. I didn't call for that, but I called about Embiid, and Devon, he did it again last night. You know, we talked about this, a week ago. Last night, Embiid going to the game. And I'm listening to the Hawks broadcast down here in Atlanta. And Brian Oliver, who had to come the last minute because Rathman and Dominique, they had the COVID stuff.
Which is wild to me.
Yeah, it was crazy. And Oliver's going on talking about how Ogunwe is going to need some help guarding Embiid because he's given up so much size. You know, he's a young kid. Matter of fact, kid just turned 21. Ogunwe's 6'8", okay, about 235. Embiid shot 4 for 7 when he shot inside the key last night. He shot 2 for 10, excuse me, 2 for 9 outside of the key last night. And those two shots were threes. Not only did Ogunwe, you know, have to guard him, I'm thinking you're going to the game, you got such a size advantage. Then the guy that's going to help out, John Collins, is the same dude that dunked on you last year. And to put it in your face, had a T-shirt made up of him dunking on you.
Yeah, everybody
at the next press conference.
Everybody gets dunked on.
And I ain't never. I mean, I watched an NBA ball for 40 years. I ain't never seen anybody. You know, literally, got a T-shirt the next game just to show you that I own you. If there's any competitive drive in Joel Embiid, you've got to say they're going to put this kid on me that's played, I believe, 21 games in the league that I got 5 inches on is about 50 pounds. And then this dude who tried to embarrass me on my home court in the playoffs last year. If there's any competitive job, if there's any basketball intelligence in this young man, you know, or the head coach, why is he taking more shots outside the key last night, you know, than he is inside the key? When clearly you're shooting 80% against this kid inside the key. That makes no sense to me, Devon. I will never understand that.
Yeah, he let them off the hook last night. They only had last night, as you mentioned, John Collins in the starting lineup and Onyeka Okongwu as well. And Gorgie Jang came in as well for some minutes also. But still, you should put those dudes in the floor, get them in foul trouble, and it shouldn't even question. Okongwu only had 2 personal fouls last night in 34 minutes. Against Embiid. He didn't punish him enough. And that was part of the reason why last night they lost that game. He only had 23 points, and you needed more.
And you're seeing this more and more, Devon. That's my guess. I mean, look, and I've said it before, you know, I'm not the type of guy that says a guy has to shoot every shot in the key. I'm not saying that.
No.
But last night he hurt the team because you got 5 guys literally standing at the top of the key with Embiid out there running the point at times for some reason.
You should have gotten the same performance from him last night as you got on Monday against Freedom where he gave him 41. That's what you should have gotten last night.
Oh, you should have. That's what you should have gotten. Yeah. And I'm not trying to dog out Embiid every game.
I know. But last night was a big one for him to absolutely everything that you're saying against that young player who actually played well against him in the playoffs last year too. But that being said, you are still the all NBA center, second best player, you know, second best big man in the league, best big man in the league, whatever you want to call him. That should punish that young guy. Shan, happy holidays, man. Great stuff. We'll catch up with you. Thanks, man.
Okay, you too, brother.
You got it, man. And the Football Friday on the Fanatic is brought to you by Pump Man Philly. Need a water pump expert for your facility? Contact Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. All right, Jeremiah and Dan We got some open lines for the first time in a bit. Check in with the 610-632-0975. Brian Westbrook coming up at 4. We come right back. We keep it going. And we'll transition to the football game this weekend as well. Connor Thomas here. I'm Devon Givens. We're with you. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Perfect. Connor Thomas, thank you.
I got you.
Ah, look at that.
I got you, man.
See, it's underrated. Everyone knows all the normal, you know. Everyone knows the normals. You gotta let it snow.
See, Christmas songs, a lot of them, they can kind of verge on corny.
Tell them,
this is smooth.
Yeah, this is chill.
It's very smooth.
Wanya just, you know, Brian McKnight comes in and joins the guys. You know what I'm saying? Listen to that. Come on now. That's what I mean. It should be in the rotation. Bottom line, every year.
You're right, it should be.
Every year, should be in the rotation.
I'll talk to Coach in the mornings while I see
him. Yeah.
We'll have to have a little sit down.
Gotta have a little discussion. Just wasn't in the rotation enough. I'm disappointed. Devon Givens with you. That's Connor Thomas. The 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by Corporalese Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. I'd imagine that some people got their hands on some for maybe the Christmas Eve gathering where you might have a lunch or something like that for everybody. And you checked out Corporalese Bakery and Deli. Again, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. That was our 3 o'clock sponsor. And we do have an update here. The 3 o'clock Twitter poll update powered by Moyer.com. Connor, what do we have?
Thanks, Devon. Again, our Twitter poll can always be found at 975 The Fanatic on Twitter. Does Tobias Harris catch too much heat in Philadelphia? Over 1,000 votes on this one already in.
Really?
Yeah, it's still leading the way with 72% of the vote is no.
He doesn't take.
Yeah.
Ah,
yes, see? Is 28, so a lot of people saying he doesn't take
too
much heat.
See? I mean, this is exactly why you threw that question out there.
Well, honestly, a lot of the comments are saying he doesn't take enough heat.
Wow.
Needs to be more.
Wow.
People are being rough on Tobias right now.
Wow, I might have to back him a little bit on this one. The chief won. Big Chief says, no, he's terrible. Oh, man. It's not his fault. This is from BWM3313. Ken says, and we'll get to Jeremiah and Dan in a second here. It's not his fault that Elton Brand offered him a max contract. It's not his fault Brand made a disastrous trade with the Clippers. Until then, Tobias had been mostly a rotation role player. It's not his fault that the roster construction is poor and full of one-dimensional players. Also, he continues, to be clear, do you fault Harris for signing a max deal instead of Brand, who offered him a max contract? So if your boss calls you, and he was talking to Kebab_B, if your boss calls you on Monday and offers you $2,000 an hour, you say no? Or do you take the offer and run as fast as you can?
Of course,
you take it.
Yeah. But then if you don't put in $2,000 work and people get mad at you for that, that's fair.
Wow. I'm at 70% says he doesn't take enough heat. And people say he should take more. All right. Let's keep it going. We're running until, again, 6 o'clock on this day. And afterwards, we got free winners from 6 to 7. And then we're all done. For the Fanatic programming on this Christmas Eve. We'll catch up with you again on Sunday as we get things rolling with Joe Torti and D. Lineham at 6 a.m. on Sunday. And then we'll have you covered starting at 9 a.m. I'll have you solo pregame show, Derek Gunn and I, getting ready for the Eagles and the Giants as long as the game is played. By the way, Tim McManus let us know that Landon Dickerson is off the COVID list, and he should be good to go for this next game against the Giants. So that's good news for the Eagles. We still await to find out, though, about the head coach, Nick Sirianni. Head coach now has it. So we'll see. All right, let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975. Willsbury, Jeremiah, next with us here on The Fanatic. What's up, Jeremiah? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah, how's it going? Yeah, so, you know, Shannon was a good call for me to follow, and it's, you know, a lot of the Tobias Harris haters are coming out now, coming out of the woods here.
Full force.
You know, and I'm one of them, you know, and that's probably a big reason for my call, but, you know, his trade value is definitely down. I mean, when we spoke a few months ago when I called, you know, his trade value was pretty good then, and I feel like maybe we could have gotten something for him then. I mean, certainly, you know, what I'd love to explore with Tobias Harris is a trade to the Timberwolves, because it seems like they did bring in, like, Patrick Beverley to potentially trade off, and you can match that contract with Torian Prince to make the money work, and then maybe bring in like, a Josh Vanderbilt and pack Harris's bags with, you know, maybe Jaden Springer, you know, give them a little value back, and then you start to look at that Timberwolves team, and that actually makes a little sense there, you know, going with Kat and Russell and Edwards.
Yeah, he's, you know, now he's the fourth option.
Right. Yeah, and that's really what he needs to be, and they need that fourth. They kind of need exactly Tobias Harris. I think that's probably the only team that, I don't know how much they would want to take on that horrid contract. But you know, like, I agree with you. You know, you got to trade Harris before Simmons. But yeah, I was at the game last night, and it was a very poor effort by the Sixers. Mm-hmm. You know, and I see Doc Rivers saying here that it was a very casual approach.
Yep.
And it really was. It really was the whole thing. But, I mean, but even by Doc Rivers, too, I mean, he didn't bring that starting unit really back on the floor till about, you know, 5 minutes and 45 seconds to go in the fourth. And, you know, they didn't have enough time to really gel out there. And,
yeah, because I saw that lineup, too, and I'm like, what is he waiting so long for? And the first person, ironically enough, Jay, he brought in Tobias Harris. And immediately Tobias Harris he committed a turnover, because I remember Tom sitting there saying, he just got in the game. How did he turn the ball over immediately as he checks back into the game? So I agree with you. I thought he left the starters out there way too long in the fourth quarter. And when they did, you know, while they fought back and all, Bogdanovich then started to cook and they had no answer.
Yeah, I mean, they really didn't have an answer, but it's just a shame that it got so long. Like, eventually someone on the Hawks would hot, but I mean, that was ridiculous. The Hawks just played the previous night in Orlando, you know, traveled through the night in a back to back. That was the first game of a on the road of a back to back. It wasn't the second game, but still, I mean, mm-hmm. There's just no excuse for that. I mean, basically their entire starting lineup out. I mean, the Sixers had some injuries, but like we said, that starting five was more than enough to get it done. And yeah, it was just such a lazy energy.
Yeah, four starters.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it was a lazy energy. I mean, the fans, I mean, it was so quiet. Like, 2 minutes to go in that game, it's like a 2-point game, it's like tied, and the place is just dead quiet. So it was odd. You know, I guess it's, you know, the Christmas season and people's minds were on other things, but yeah, just the whole thing last night. Yeah, very very lazy effort. Everyone was just ready to you know, go get their Christmas holiday started. But you start to look at, and that's where it's a waste. But you start to look at these Eastern Conference now, and you know, here we go. You know, 1 through 10. You know, you're gonna have Bucks, Nets, Heat locked in, probably the top three. Bulls are looking pretty good at four. And then, you know, the Hawks will make that second half rise. I mean, they're gonna get healthy just like they did last year. They're gonna start to win games. They should get to that 5 or 6. And then you have the Cavs, really, as like a 5 or a 6.
Yeah, so it's a matter of, do the Cavs fall off? Do they stay put? Do the Phillies take it? Do the Philadelphia 76ers take over that spot again? And, yeah, it's going to be tough. But the good part is they're not far behind any of them. That's the good part.
I mean, not far behind, but so we just named 6. And then you have Celtics, who should be in there. You know, we got 3 play-in teams here, basically. Celtics, Wizards, Hornets. So they're all going to be there. So it's like they're all competitive teams, and it's just the longer we wait, you know, obviously, to trade Ben Simmons, you're really getting pretty deep into this play-in tournament where you're going to have to play your way out, because, you know, it's just not a filled-out roster. And, like, you know, if the approach is, okay, well, we want to maximize. We don't want any young players. We don't want these great young draft picks or stars, because we want to maximize Embiid's potential. Well, didn't we just waste a year coming off what was should have been the MVP season? Are we not wasting, you know, potentially the best year of his career?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that everyone is really talking about. Jeremiah, listen, man, I hope you get another opportunity to go to the game, get a better effort and a win, and Merry Christmas to you.
Well, I can't because I'm not vaccinated. So.
Oh, yeah, it starts in January.
I had to get a quick one in.
Oh, man. Oh, Jay, come on.
Right. Before that, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. Well, Merry Christmas, man. Be safe.
Family. You too.
We'll talk to you.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, man. Oh, tough. You know, we don't want to get into all of that. I just wish that everyone would get it. Everyone has their reasons. I wish you would get it. Dan is next. Can we get to Doc Rivers one more time there?
Of course.
Connor, let's hear Doc Rivers last night. Talking about the casual play.
I think everything tonight, I mean, I didn't think we played with great. By the way, we have guys out too, by the way. You know, tonight was our best advantage as far as guys being out. And you got to win tonight, honestly. But we didn't because I thought we approached the game very casual and we played that way. I thought they did whatever they wanted offensively. I thought they were aggressive defensively.
Approached it casually. He started to say no effort early, and then he went to the whole part of, by the way, we also had people out. Excuse.
Yeah, you and every single other team in the NBA right now.
Everyone. But you had four starters. There's a difference. Four starters, and you had one of your starters come off the bench, and he provided 17 points in that time that he was on the floor off the bench. So just stay with the effort part. Stay with the fact that you had an advantage and you didn't take advantage of it. And you lost that game when you shouldn't have. Stay with that.
Yeah.
Stay
and
with that.
Casual approach.
Casual approach.
Starts with one person. Hey, and it's the one who gave us that soundbite. So.
Yeah. Casual approach. Can't have that. Let's go back to the phone. 610-632-0975. Brian Westbrook joins us for the 4 o'clock hour right here on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan in the Northeast. What's up, Dan? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Devon. How you doing, bud?
Pretty well. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm just sitting here. I was driving to work, and I'm listening to everybody talking. My mind's going back and forth playing, like, I want to play the blame game. Like, who do I want to blame for what's going on with the Sixers? And, you know, first I go, Ben, it's all Ben Simmons. It's definitely Ben Simmons. And I go, well, Tobias Harris isn't living up to his contract. And is Joel Embiid really a true leader of this team? Can he be a leader? And, like, you know what? I don't think it's any of it. I think it's Doc Rivers. Like, really, like, the amount of talent this man has had in players and not being able to, you know, reach at least the Eastern Conference Finals or unlock the potential of Ben Simmons. He hasn't done anything. Like, not one iota of anything. I can't see the benefit he's brought to this team. Like, if anything, like, at this point, I would hope Joel Embiid would, like, sit down with, like, Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons and be like, how can we make this work? Like, what can we do as the players here to get somewhere? Like, they have to know that they can go somewhere with the talent they have if they just work together. Or am I crazy, Devon?
No, I mean, I was never the biggest fan of Rivers from afar when, of course, he was with the Celtics and the Clippers the last few seasons. And when he became available, I understood, like I mentioned earlier, that they had to go after him after moving on from Brown. You wanted to get the best of the best that was available. And he was the best. So they made the choice. And I commended them for making the push, the effort to go get he and Daryl Morey in the front office. I thought regular season wise, he did a really good job a season ago, helped guiding them to the number one seed, despite everything else where the Nets had the injuries and, Milwaukee struggled a bit. The Sixers did what they did and they earned it. This season though, he's had a lot going against them. 8-2 start. I thought he did a nice job there. It's tough, man, because we know Danny's a good coach. Maybe he's just not the coach for this city, this team.
Yeah, I get that, but I mean, I think, well, first off, we're wasting Joel Embiid's time. Like, there's a time frame for him for how long he can play.
Absolutely, especially with the injuries. Yeah,
exactly. And I'm in the belief, like, I want to keep Ben Simmons. I never thought I would say that. But if somebody can just sit down with this guy and be like, listen, like, just play the game and it will come together. Like, and I really think that's got to come from Joel Embiid.
I think people have said that. Remember, Dan, in the beginning of the season when he held out, and the report came out that they all wanted to fly out to California, including Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, Matisse Thybulle, Danny Green, to ask him to come back. He told them, don't waste your time. So that was the plan, to go do that.
Yeah.
And then when he did come back, and the report was also out there that he stated that he did speak to the team. He sat down with them and he talked to the team. He talked to the coach, the front office. He apologized. He said he could do better. But then he also put blame on them and said everybody is accountable in this. And I don't know how much he's checked out. Dan, this is the first time that he has been challenged and he's handling it this way.
No, so I totally got it.
So I don't see him coming back.
I get it.
He's challenged and he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel like it's his fault. You got it, man. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you so much. Right? Yeah. He's challenged for the first time. He doesn't like it. He's got his back up, and he says, I'm not doing it anymore.
Right, and it's annoying to see a guy at this level. You got to imagine that, like, once you get to this point, and I know he's still young, but that was an excuse for 22- or 23-year-old Ben Simmons. Like, yeah, he's still young, but at this point, you're a man. You've been in the league for 5 years. You've got to be able to handle yourself.
19.
Yeah. So to react that way, especially when you can look back at your life, and I don't want to say everything's handed to him because he didn't have to work at his craft to get to this level.
But I think we understand what you mean when you say handed to him.
Exactly. And yeah, to react like this the one time, not even that the city completely turns on him, because we defended Ben for so long and the fans defended Ben for so long, like, he just outwore his welcome over a course of years. It wasn't a snap change. It was a buildup of multiple years of not seeing certain adjustments. It was a bad reaction by him and still is, and has put this team in a really rough spot.
Yeah, and we remember what Rivers and what Embiid said post-game and all that stuff. Still, come to work, do your job, and you'll get traded. You don't just decide to sit out, which that's part of my problem. I guess he just conveniently forgot that Rivers backed him all season long.
Literally said he doesn't have to shoot. Said he's fine as it is. Leave Ben alone.
And said people don't appreciate him enough. All those things. Every time he had a poor game to us, Rivers would come out and support him. I guess he didn't remember those. I guess he didn't remember. Let's go to Denzel in West Philly. Brian Westbrook coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. What's up, man?
What's up, bro?
How you feeling?
Hey, now, I called last night and got a little some things that I had to get off the line because I was a little heated myself after watching the game. Sort of like the last caller, I was going to come in hot and heavy yesterday. I'm a little calmer now. I just did some Christmas shopping. So the issue that I got with Doc Rivers, and you know how I feel about Ben Simmons already, so
yes,
we don't really got to go necessarily into that direction. But the issue that I had with Doc Rivers is he hasn't, like, we should have beat Atlanta without Ben Simmons. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and this is just me just looking at that team, like, looking at our team last year. We did not need Ben Simmons to beat Atlanta last year. Atlanta was not that good of a team. The in-game adjustment is horrible. And that's not just wasn't in that one series. That was throughout the season that I've seen a lot of times. And it's rearing his head this year also. He's not putting his players in their best skill sets with the positions to win. And that's why, then that's my biggest issue. He doesn't manage the game correctly. He doesn't halt runs correctly. He runs double teams at good players before they even warm up. Like, I can see if they're giving us 40. That's stuff you do at 40. He does that when they get 10. Like, I hate that. Like, play basketball. This is not, I don't like the adjustments that he makes. I don't think he makes the proper adjustments in a lot of ways. I don't think he put Ben Simmons in a position to win with how he treated him last year. He did the same. It feels like Brett Brown, a colored version of Brett Brown for like defending Ben Simmons all crazy all year long. He didn't hold his team accountable until he got frustrated at the end. That's not a professional head coach. And I wasn't as low on Rivers as you were, but because I didn't watch him enough in California,
LA.
But I watched him when he was in Boston because we played them more often. They was in our division, so I seen him. But he also had Ray Allen. He had a lot of professionals that were at the top of their game, like Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and KG, that were all like in their mid-30s that was ready to win and that was basically coaching themselves and putting their own self in. Rondo, he had a true point guard in Rondo. That they were very, very – that was a very, very mature team. I don't think we got the right coach to lead. Like, I don't see no extra fighting a lot of – like, people that fighting for me, not putting the right position to win. It's real lackadaisical. And then that report came out about the practice. Like, with this team, like, for George Niang to say some stuff like that, and we didn't even know who he was until this year. So – for him to come out and say something like that, him, and it's like, it just like, it almost got swept under the rug. It wasn't no harsh this. I said, I'm not like it. I put a lot more blame on. At this point, after watching everything come down, I'm putting more blame on Rivers than I do on 2-5 and a lot of other people think and a lot of other players because he's not putting him in a position to win. He babied him all year. The same thing that we had a problem with Brett Brown doing. Never held him accountable. And you can't wait all the way until the end to be a man with somebody else like that. I'd have felt some type of way too.
Yeah.
You babied him the whole way through, and then you wait until he had the worst game of his life and the worst position of his life, and now you want to start being objective. Nah, I'm cool.
I'm cool off of him.
I'm with the let's go with Scott Rivers training.
All right, man. Listen, did you find everything you needed out there?
Yeah, I got everything, man. Just left Cherry Hill Mall, man.
Was it a madhouse?
It's packed, man. You can't get through that parking lot. Park on the street.
I think it was Tuesday. Yeah, it was very easy.
Double park on the street. Just walk
through. Oh, man. Hey, man. Merry Christmas. We'll talk.
All right, man.
All right, you got it, man. Coming up on the other side, of course, we'll get to Kyle and Derek, but my brother, he checks in with us for the 4 o'clock hour. Eagles Hall of Famer, Brian Westbrook, on the other side right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all?
Look at that.
The red-nosed reindeer.
All right, now he's famous.
Had a very shiny.
Everybody knows the other names, but Rudolph gets songs. The other reindeers get nothing.
They get mentions.
They
got
features.
They
don't get songs. They don't get cartoons. They don't get animations.
Well, not every feature is a full verse, man. All sometimes right. You just get a little mention in there.
All right.
You get a line in there.
I guess that's how it works. But listen, whenever we join the Mike Vistinelli Show every Friday, 4 o'clock, we get to check in with my man, my brother, on this Christmas Eve. We get to hang out for the hour, talk some football as the Eagles and Giants do work this weekend at Lincoln Financial Field. Flashback to Tuesday night football. And of course, got to get him some basketball conversation. My brother on the Comcast Business Hotline, B. West, Brian Westbrook. Merry Christmas, Brian. My man. All right. Okay, that's all good. All right, well, look, while we do that, you figure out B. Make sure Brian's all good. I'll check in with Kyle in Jacksonville here on 97.5. What's up, Kyle?
Well, you probably mean Al.
Al, what's going on, man?
What's going on, baby? You know, the caller before that talking about Doc Rivers, I totally agree with him. I think what we probably should do is give Cassell that spot. I've been asking for Cassell for the longest. I liked when we got Doc Rivers, but now it's like not too sure about that.
Yeah, you feel like it's done already?
Yeah. You have to get Casella at that spot. Another thing, like I was saying about Harris, maybe we could trade Harris for Wall and Woods for the Rockets.
So I know D-Linen was talking about this earlier, Kyle. I don't know to what extent. Al, sorry about that. I don't know what reason, Al, that somebody brought up John Wall earlier, but someone brought up John Wall earlier, but he's got that big contract, Al, and you know what I mean? He hasn't played, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, he might have a big contract, but that Tobias Harris contract injury. Is going to be worse in a few more years. So Wall, you only got Wall for like probably 2 years maybe, and after that, it's nothing, but that Harris is going to be a little bit longer and worse than Wall's in the long run.
Do you feel like, why do you feel Wall will still be able to give you more?
Well, first of all, we need a point. Wall had a pretty decent season last year. I mean, he played pretty well. Like I said, we need a point. And Woods is somebody we had on a squad, and Brett Brown, for some whatever reason, I'm going to give the guy any minutes. Woods was, you can see Woods reminded me of our young Rashid, kind of. You can see Woods had talent, but Brett Brown never played him. Woods would be nice next to Embiid, and it can fill in for Embiid as well. And like I said, Wall played pretty decent last year, and we need a point guard. Maxie's not a point guard, if you ask me. I think Maxie's like
I never thought he was a point guard. I always thought he was a combo. And
yeah, he's like a young Shadell 3, you know? But, yeah, like I said, I think we need a point guard. And Wall contract is horrible, but that's why Sash's contract is going to be horrible.
So
as
you
well.
Think Christian yeah. Wood can play next to Joel Embiid?
Yeah.
I think he's more effective as a five, to be perfectly honest with you.
I guess you talk about today's generation.
Yeah, in today's game, yep.
Yeah. But I think Wall and Woods would be good for Tobias. And, you know, deal with the Simmons situation later on. Or if we could bring Simmons back, I think the guy AI would be the perfect person to be able to make the fans accept Simmons back in the fold.
I think AI had said some things to him earlier. Clearly has not worked at this point, Al. But listen, man, happy holidays to you, man. Enjoy. Merry Christmas.
To you, man. All the best.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Now, let's go to the Comcast Business Hotline. Check in with my brother here on this Christmas Eve, hanging out with us on the Mike Missinelli Show. We got Brian Westbrook. B. West, what's up, man? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, brother. I'm sorry about that. Connection must have messed me up. But, man, I'm super happy to be on with you this afternoon. And Christmas Eve, man. Super happy about
Christmas
that as well.
Eve.
That's right.
Yeah,
That's right. Man.
I missed you. I haven't seen you in like a month. I haven't, you know.
It's been too long, man. It's been too long. And I didn't get to the Eagles game this past weekend. So I'm just
I'm
chomping at the bit for the Eagles to have a chance to play their way into the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's the most exciting part for me.
They got some help last night. San Fran goes down to the Tennessee Titans on Thursday Night Football 2017. And now San Fran is sitting at 8-7. And if the Eagles do their job against the Giants on Sunday, they'll also be there at 8-7. Now, San Fran does have the tiebreaker, but you're also looking at Minnesota, seeing where things go from there. But be there. They're in a good position with three games to go, all division, two at home, one on the road.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, no matter how you look at the season, how you look at how things transpire throughout the season, you want to be able to control your own destiny at the end of the day. And I think they're going to have a chance. And now you have to go out there and win three games, and that's your goal. And you three winnable games. You're talking about you're playing the Giants, a beat-up Giants team. You're playing Washington again, team that you've beaten. And now you got some payback against the Dallas Cowboys, and you got them at home. And so that's super important, and that may be a game where they may not even, you know, care about if you're the Cowboys. And so three winnable opportunities is going to be a big opportunity for not only Nick Sirianni, not only the quarterback, but this football team that's really battled through adversity all season long.
And you speak of Nick Sirianni, and the reports came out earlier. Well, Nick Sirianni told us the day after on Wednesday that he's in the COVID protocol, the league's COVID protocol, and he's dealing with it right now. So we don't even know if he's going to be able to be on the sidelines and coaching the game as of yet on Sunday.
Well, yeah, I mean, not having him there, not having the guy that who really over the last 7 or 8 weeks, you're talking about throughout this time where we've run the ball very well, been consistent with the run game, where Nick Sirianni has just gotten a groove. He's just gotten into a play-calling groove. The team has responded very well. It's certainly, you know, it's a setback. Anytime you lose a guy, anytime you lose a coach, it's a setback. But I still think they're the better football team. They're playing better right now. And no matter who's calling the plays, if you stick with the game plan, and the game plan has to be, let's control the game through the ground. Let's make sure that Jalen Hurts is in a position that he can be successful, especially on third down, and be able to move the pocket. And if you have a patient quarterback, and a quarterback that's not going to turn the ball over like he did, you know, when we were up there at the Meadowlands Stadium, then at that point, you got a great opportunity to win this football game.
They absolutely do, man. They really do. So can we go into like a little behind the scenes thing? Because when you look at where things are right now with Nick Sirianni, how's all that work? He's the offensive coordinator and head coach, and he is now out of the mix, but he has been around people. How does it work during the week? Where what does he do as an offensive coordinator? I guess going from room to room as a head coach, but also spending a lot of time being in the room with the offensive side of the football, trying to put the game plan and all together. What's his responsibility like? Who's he around all week long in the building?
Well, the biggest responsibility you have as an offensive coordinator is putting the game plan together, watching the film of the opposing team and saying, okay, here are the weaknesses that we can attack and that we can take advantage of. That's part of putting the game plan together. That you usually do that on Mondays and Tuesdays and early, early Wednesday morning. By the time the team comes in on Wednesday, the game plan is already in place, and now it's time to explain the game plan to the guys on the team. So as an offense, you get together as a group and you say, okay, here are the things that we think that we can attack. We think that they're weak in the run game. We're strong in the run game. We know that we want to be physical and run the football. Here are the plays that we love, outside zone, inside zone, reverse, whatever that is. Then you say, you know what? And there are some opportunities in the pass game where in their coverages, they're just not very good in cover two, cover five, and we can attack the middle of the field. We can attack them in man-to-man situations. And here are the packages and the plays that we want to get to in those situations. Now once everyone on that team understands, okay, we want to run the ball, you know, hard. We want to be successful in the inside outside zone game. And we want to attack these parts of the field because this safety isn't very good or this linebacker isn't very good within the pass game. Now everybody understands it. Now it's time for the players to understand the plays that we're going to use. The offensive coordinator usually goes through the plays and tells the team why we're trying to attack those positions of the field. And then after that, now it's up to the position coaches to make sure that every position, running back, offensive line, wide receiver, tight end, quarterback, they all understand the assignment. Your assignment is to make sure that you do this. And, you know, so once you go through the week, from that standpoint, the offensive coordinator, the hay is in the barn. You know, you're already prepared to go out there and play. Now, when you get to the game, it's about calling plays, and it's about perfecting. It's about making sure that each player is doing their job on every single play. And really, as a player, the offensive coordinator isn't as important as far as the things that he's going to say to you during the game as he is during the week. Mm-hmm. Now, during the week,
right,
he needs to point out, hey, man, we need to get to these areas and those different things. But during the game, it's a game flow. And we've seen Nick Sirianni get into the game flow where he's been able to call plays and put strings of plays together to keep a defense off balance. And he's done a very good job of that the last, you know, a couple months. And because of that, the offense has just done well and been able to run the ball on basically everybody that they played throughout the last couple months of the season.
But doesn't that change now that they played on Tuesday? And as you said, that Wednesday is when everything is pretty much done and is installed and is explaining the game plan. On Wednesday, he's not there because he announces that he's not doing it. And I'm sure they can do the Zoom things and all, but it's a little bit different.
Well, here's the good thing about this situation is that this team understands and understands, really all across the NFL, they understand how to learn on Zoom. They had to do it for a whole year.
Sure.
They understand how to learn with the coach not in the room with them. So they've done that. What this team hasn't done is play the game without Nick Sirianni on the sideline. That's going to be the difference. And so there are times where you need your head coach to say a word to the team if they're not vibing or playing very well, and he just won't be there to say that. Now it's going to be the defensive coordinator and, you know, your offensive coordinator, the people that have helped in that process because Sirianni's kind of that guy. That's going to have to step up and make comments to the team. Now, on the short weeks like this, you play on Tuesday, you come back on Sunday to play again. Here's the thing. You try to keep it simple as possible. Let's go back to the basic stuff that we know how to do with our eyes closed. Let's go back to that. We're not putting in trick plays and all these different coverages that we've never played before. We're going back to the basics. And to me, to beat this Giants football team where you had a bunch of turnovers when you played up there, which caused you to lose the game, you need to go back to basics anyway so that you can find a way to beat this football team in your own stadium.
Brian Westbrook joining us here on the Comcast Business Hotline on this Football Friday on the Mike Missanelli Show. I'm Devon Givens with you. Brian is brought to us by Landis Block. Get your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at LandisBC.com. So, B, let's go back to the game a little bit there on Tuesday. I know you talked to the guys and Jen on Wednesday, but just to kind of go back a bit, the 20 of 26 performance from Jalen Hurts' first game back since the injury and then the bye and then the change of the game from Sunday to Tuesday. For those who didn't hear, your evaluation of him, the job that he did in the game overall, 20 of 26, one touchdown, one interception, 297 through the air, and looked pretty good doing it.
Well, you know, he looked pretty good. And, you know, obviously he had a couple turnovers early. The first one, interception, is not his fault there. The drop and the, you know, kind of the ball just ricocheted off of Goddard's foot there. And the second one was just a bad. He didn't get a good feel of the pocket. Didn't have that pocket presence that I think he had later on in the game. But, you know, there are times, and this is actually really important. There are times you can compare it to Ben Simmons if you want. There are times where your coach needs to get on you. Just to get you out of that funk, just to get you back into the mindset of playing a football game, especially when you're coming off a bye for a football player. And it was after that fumble that Nick Sirianni, he gave Jalen Hurts an earful walking off the field. And to me, that snapped him out of it. That snapped him out of that kind of gaze where you're just kind of playing football. You're just going through the motion. And then he went out there and looked much more deliberate in some of his throws. He was much more patient in the pocket. He was going through his reads. He was making stronger throws down the field. And because of that, and then also because of the run game, he was just hitting guys in stride because guys were open down the field because the run game opened up things. And so he looked like a different guy after that second turnover early in the game. And that's the type of thing that you need to see from Jalen Hurts, a guy that is not forcing the run. He will run if it's necessary, but he didn't force it. He was trying to find a way to work from the pocket and find open guys. And he was giving guys down the field, Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith, opportunities down the field to make plays. And he was able to do that throughout the entire game. And to me, that makes the difference in your quarterbacking. Giving these guys, you pay these guys an awful lot of money. Goddard's a big-time draft pick. Devontae Smith's a first-rounder. These guys are good players. Just find a way to get the ball in their hands. And if you do that, and you give those guys an opportunity down the field, you'll be surprised what they can do when they get that opportunity. Both of those guys stepped up big for Hurst in that football game.
And B, that was one of my takeaways from the game. While we look at the fumble early that he had, the Goddard off the foot interception, and I also saw a couple of bad things that Jalen Hurts had, where he missed Gainwell at the goal line for that one pass instead of forcing it to the back of the end zone. Even the great Smith catch that he had along the right sideline, I thought that it was a little wow. He only allowed his player to make the play. I thought he could have put it on his numbers a little bit more because he was running to his right and he was coming back to the football. You know, outside of all that, I looked at it and the takeaway from it, from me, even with the lack of running 8 for 38, was that he stood in the pocket and he played quarterback and he looked all right doing it. And he delivered the ball. He was much more accurate on Tuesday than we had seen in the past. And it was something that we had wanted to see all season long from him as we try to evaluate him.
He looked like a competent quarterback.
Right.
A quarterback that can get it done. A quarterback that has gotten better. And, you know, it's tough because it's tough for me. It's tough for the fans. It's tough for everyone to stay, you know, neutral all year long and not say, you know, we want the best quarterback possible. Because what we as fans came into the season and said, okay, this is a year we got to find out about this coach. We got to find out about this quarterback, and we have to be patient with both. Now you win a couple games, you're like, okay, screw the patience. I'm trying to make the playoffs, and that's when you become harder on both the coach and the quarterback. And we still have to understand that Jalen Hurts is a work in progress, and to me, he has shown some improvement. He's shown the improvement of being able to stay in the pocket and make some throws, being able to get in rhythm with some of his throws, not holding the ball too long, waiting for guys to get open. And I have to be honest and say, if he can continue that type of progress over the offseason into next year, you add a couple, you know, first round picks in that, you know, in the draft, now you got a different team. Now you got a different type of philosophy, especially if you can find a way to get into the playoffs this season. And so he's done a lot of very good things. He's gotten much better. And now it's about how much better can you get over these last three games of the season? And what can you show the Eagles over that time to kind of ensure that position for next season?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, just sitting there looking at him, and he stood there. He climbed. One time he climbed the pocket when he shouldn't have, and he was sacked. But for the most part, he slid. He felt the pressure coming. He felt what the pocket was doing. He felt the collapse, and he slid to his left, hit Dallas Goedert on the good one. That great throw to Greg Ward, back shoulder for the score.
Yep.
We just saw some stuff that, you know, just a confident quarterback with what he was doing, whether it was Sirianni biting at him, you know, snapping at him for the poor play, or just him not being able to run because of the high ankle sprain. But he stood there. He did what he was supposed to do. And he looked pretty good doing it. And as we've talked about, just the natural progression, allowing you to go through your progressions and seeing you game from game become a better quarterback, that's all we've been asking all season long. And if this is the type of player that you're going to get for the final three games, he's going to give them every chance offensively to, as you said, in winnable games, win these games.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? This happens in just in nature and life in general. You take away one of your senses, your other senses get stronger. You take away your hearing, your taste and your sight get a little bit stronger, right? So you took away some of his running ability just because of the ankle injury. You don't want to put him in harm's way. And of course, as a player, you feel that you understand that your body's a little weak there. And so now he has and not use his legs as much. And he looked a lot better doing that. He looked a lot more in rhythm. He looked a lot more in sync with the offense. And sometimes that's just the trigger that you need. He needed that trigger as a player to say, you know what? I can actually do what the coach is asking me to do by staying in the pocket. I'm well protected. I have one of the better offensive lines in the league, and I can get the protection that I need. I just need to stay here and throw the ball constantly down the field. And he was able to do that in the game, albeit against a average secondary for the Washington football team. But again, it's all about confidence. It's all about getting better. He got better this past week, and that's what we need from our quarterback.
Yeah, he really did, man. And it was good to see as we get ready for this Giants team, a revenge game for him. Arguably his worst game as a pro, where he throws those interceptions against the Giants. They come here. He's coming off of this good one. I expect him to just have a nice day against them on Sunday.
Well, I expect the same thing. You know, the other thing, and I probably should have started here. The offensive line had a great day.
Yes.
They had a great day on Tuesday. And Miles Sanders, I mean, he looked like a professional. He looked like the guy that I thought he was going to be all season long, you know, barring the injuries. And that's something that I think can continue. When in his space, his acceleration, his vision is very good. And I think we can continue to use that as long as he can stay healthy and hold on to the football. And then, yeah, of course, you mix Jordan Howard in there, too.
Yeah.
And it's almost like that thunder and lightning that you want from the running back position where you're saying, okay, we're going to put the big boy in there, and now you got to figure out a way to tackle him. But we can put Miles Sanders in there, and he can break the big plays. And, you know, as much as I think he can even be better than what he was this past game, which was very good, I mean, he's making the plays that we thought that he can make all season long, and I was super proud to see that.
B, as a running back, and you saw him make that play to the left following Kelce where he got to that second level and they were just going, and he then decided to cut back inside even though there was a defender to the right. I believe there was another Eagle blocking downfield, I believe a receiver, and Kelce visibly upset that he didn't stay to his left. What would you have done? I mean, it's easier said than done looking at it on film. But looking at it on film, did he make the right cut going back inside, or should he stay right where he was behind Kelce?
So the hard part, and it's easy for me and
to watch
the film and say, you should have did this. But the angles are totally different when you're on the field. They just are. And you're not only reading the angles on your field, you're reading body language, right? And so as a running back, I'm constantly reading people's body language. And so generally speaking, I trust the running back. I trust his eyes. Now, I can always say, well, there was a hole there. You should have took this hole. But generally speaking, the running back is seeing the guy in front of him, the defender, the offensive player. Then he's watching and seeing the people behind him and behind those first people. And so generally speaking, I want to believe and take the experience and the moves of the running back for what they are. And I think he made a good decision at the time, even though it may have looked like from our view that he could have did something different.
Like, yo, stay left. You're good.
Stay left.
Yeah,
you got it. And just use your speed. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
Kelsey put that one hand, that big paw on the guy, you know, knock him off balance just a little bit. And then boom, he picks up maybe a few more yards and he's all good. But he got on my nerves, B, after that, because they get the win, all that. Then he goes on Twitter and says, you guys got to stop booing, all this stuff. And it was like, see, here you go again. You start talking again.
That's you know, listen, I love Miles Sanders.
I think know
that's
you do.
That's a young man's thought process. Like, man, I can control the narrative as far as the fans. And to me, I never was really concerned about that. For me, I was, okay, I'm going to go out there and do what I do best. And hopefully that's enough for fans to appreciate it and like it. I can't control whether people boo or not. I just can't. And quite honestly, as much as I listen to the fans, especially when they're cheering to get me going as a player, when they're booing, it's just noise. I'm playing in the enemy stadium, and that's just how it is. That's the way that I thought of it as a player.
Yeah, he had a great game, and he kind of takes it away just from that one comment on social media.
He didn't take it away. It's not the first time.
That's what I'm saying.
That also shows you that they're hearing, they're listening, right? Yeah. And as many people say, we don't read the press clippings and we don't listen to the fans. They're hearing it, and that's kind of a normal thing as well.
All right, well, they're hearing you and I until 5 o'clock together here on the Mike Mussinelli Show. 610-632-0975 for folks who want to get in, talk to Brian before we step away, allow him to get things started on this Christmas Eve and heading into Christmas on this Football Friday on the Fanatic, which is brought to you by Pump Man Philly. Need a water pump expert for your facility? Contact Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. And Brian joins us, of course, by Landis Block. Get your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at LandisBC.com. We look ahead, B, to the Giants game on the other side. Speak of a few more things for the Birds, but we also, I got to pick your brain on the basketball team because we got some issues. Got to talk about it when we get back, and we'll do that with you. So hang on, Derek, you hang on as well. We'll get to everybody when we can right here. Brian Westbrook with us on the Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Ding dong, ding dong, Christmas bells are ringing.
Yes, they are. As we get closer and closer to the start of Christmas, it's Christmas Eve. Everybody's out there doing a last minute shopping. Devon Givens with you on the Mike Mussinelli Show. Connor Thomas here, Dylan McKinnon as well. Brian Westbrook with us for the 4 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic, brought to you by Landis Block. And get your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at LandisBC.com. And the 4 o'clock hour is brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. B, you all done shopping, everything?
Yeah, man. I got my shopping done early, you know, right around the 1st of December. I said, I'm going to get on this computer. I'm going to get all this shopping done, you know, for my godkids and my nephews, my nieces, my homeboys, my friends, my their wives, everything like that. Everything out of the way. And I was done by the 15th. Absolutely done. It was the first year that I've been done. Usually I'm out today trying to find the best deals. Try to find the leftovers out there on the racks. But, you know, I was able to get it done. And I tell you, it's a big relief. When you're able to get it done early. It's like the weight off of your back when you're able to get it done early. So I was happy about that.
So I did the same thing. I took advantage of some stuff. I even went to the stores early, not necessarily Black Friday, but Black Friday deals, maybe a couple of days later that I had the option of doing. You set up like an RSVP where you can go into the store and get certain things. and I was able to get those things done. So I really, earlier in the week, only had to go grab like two things maybe, and I was in and out. I was good.
Good feeling, right?
Yeah.
It's the best feeling in the world, I tell you. Here's the thing for me. I always like the pressure of last-minute shopping. I like the pressure.
You and Connor, man.
Find stuff. I have no problem with that at all, but just being able to shop, and obviously the limitations with COVID and things like that, being able to shop on the computer was just so easy. And I've been complaining and doing all this in the last few years. I'm not using the computer the way that I should, but this year, it was just so easy. I'm going to do it like this every year.
B, I'm coming to Brooklyn on Thursday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so you have to catch up.
Yeah, man. I'm going to be at the Brooklyn game. I got a bus trip coming up there. We leave from South Philly at 4 o'clock on Thursday, and we are sitting in the section together as fans watching the game. And, of course, we come back later. So I don't know if we'll have time to catch up, but I'm coming to Brooklyn, man.
Well, I'll see you when you get to Brooklyn, then, brother. That's a done deal.
Oh, say no more. Say no more. We'll make it happen for sure. Yeah. So, but they got some problems, man.
What are the issues? I mean, is it the issue in your mind because they're not playing up to potential, or are they not playing up to potential because they don't have the horse? They're missing that one piece, which is Ben Simmons' piece, whether it's Ben or someone else.
So they certainly miss him. We know that. We know they miss his two-way ability defensively, and, of course, the offensive pressure that he puts on the defense with what he does to get everybody involved, transition opportunities, all of that. So that is absolutely missed. But then you talk about, sure, the COVID part plays a part in it. Everybody handles it differently. I'm not ignoring that. I know that plays a part. But then everybody has to step up a level. And are you good enough, these players, to step up a level and still have you in contention to be a Eastern Conference finalist when you have to step up a level and maybe ask to do something that you're not accustomed to doing?
Well, you know what's funny? So last week, me and Mike were kind of going back and forth, and he was pretty hard on Tobias. And I like Tobias. He's a friend of mine, so I like him. So, I'm going to defend him. But the truth about guys like Tobias Harris, and you're talking about stepping up, and I don't know that he has it in him to step up to the level that people want him to be. They want him to be that natural number two guy. And I don't think he has a personality or the skill set to be able to do that consistently. Now, there can be nights where he can get you 28, 30 easily. But for the most part, that's just not who he is as a player. And we're asking him to do that. And I know it's easy to say, you know, he should be able to do it. But if you're not, that's not your makeup. But that's not who you are as a player. It's just tough for that to consistently happen. And the other part, when you look at the other players, we're asking, you know, role players to be main guys. And it's just hard for that to consistently happen. I'm not trying to give excuse for this basketball team that's not playing up to its potential. But at the same time, are we being realistic as fans and looking at this team and saying, okay, they should be, you know, the number three seed. They should be number two seed. And guys around Embiid should be able to step up every single game to be better. Are we being realistic as fans if we're saying that?
Well, if you feel like the offense is flowing through him like it should, Embiid, when he's out there, and you have enough shooters, which should be surrounding him, they have to knock down their shots. Does that mean that Simmons not being there is taking away from you knocking down your shots? You're still getting good looks. They squeeze off a good amount of three-pointers a game where there's still opportunities there to do so. Embiid is still attracting those double teams, sometimes triple teams, because they're trying to make others prove that they can beat them without Embiid going off. So I don't know. And it's crazy because we had a Twitter poll question, and since you brought it up, B, and we'll get to Derek too, because he has a question about the Sixers. Connor, what's our Twitter poll? Let B hear our Twitter poll question and give us an update.
I got you. So our Twitter poll today always sits at 975 The Fanatic on Twitter. Does Tobias Harris catch too much heat in Philadelphia? We got over 1,400 responses on this one right now. And no's got 72% of the vote. So 72% of people saying he does not catch too much heat.
So the 4 o'clock hour update poll, again, powered by Moyer.com. 70% say no, he still needs more heat on him because he's not performing up to the standards. B, when you sign that contract, there's a bullseye on your back.
Yes.
It doesn't say Harris anymore on the back of your jersey. Mm-hmm. It says 180.
Yep. Well, here's the other part. And I was just trying to explain this to Mike, and this is just a different way to look at it. So for me, Tobias took the money that was offered to him. If you're going to be offering me max money, I'm going to take it no matter what. So I think that's any player. That's
but let me counter with this real fast. before he left the Clippers, when he was traded, when he was going to be a free agent the next offseason before he was traded to the Sixers, which prompted him to be a free agent here, he was offered, I believe, 4 for $80 from Jerry West and the Clippers, and he said no.
Mm-hmm.
So he bet on himself.
Yeah.
And he won.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I mean, to me, that's the American way. That's exactly what you want to happen in basketball for you to be on sports, period, in life. To bet on yourself and things worked out in his favor. Now, the truth is, that still doesn't make him a number two guy. That still makes him a very well-paid number three guy. And that's just who he is as a player.
That brings
He's
extra
never
going
to be the guy. He's never going to be that guy.
It brings extra heat at your feet when you do that, though.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, no question. No question. Listen, again, I brought up the Iguodala point earlier in the show where Iguodala was offered. He was offered, I believe it was, I think it was like $60 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned it down. He got 80, or it was like 54 to 60 million. He turned it down and he got 80. And people were saying, as soon as you sign that contract and you are now the new AI,
mm-hmm.
you have a certain level of expectation that follows you now
yes.
because of the contract that you then signed. Yes, you signed it. Yes, you bet on yourself. But when you do it, there's more that comes with it.
Well, as a player, there's no way and there's no player that's going to say, you know what, I know you want to pay me a max money, but I don't want that pressure. So just pay me a little bit less. There's no player that's going to say that. They're going to say, give me the max money because I think I deserve it, right? And I think as fans, we still got to be realistic. Again, we're looking at this player. We've seen Tobias in this uniform for 3-4 years. I mean, he's been around for a little bit now, right? So we understand who he is. He's not going to be AI. He's not going to control the ball and go get you buckets like that. That's not his thing. There are times where we watch Tobias go for 28, 30 points, and you'd be like, really? He had 28, 30
exactly.
points?
Exactly. He's like, where was that?
All the time. Yeah. He's not a ball-dominant type of player. He's not Carmelo. He's not going to be that type of guy, right? And so it's a different type of player that Tobias is. And because of that, because he's a different type of player, that's why my expectation never was that he was going to be the number two guy. And right now, they need him to be the number two guy. And I don't think he can do that consistently because that's not the type of game that he has. And so, yeah, I'm disappointed in him. I think he can play a little bit better. I always want more production from my guy. But at the same time, when I'm being realistic about it, I'm like, well, hold on, time out. Is that something that we should expect from Tobias on a continuous basis? And my answer to that has always been no, because I don't think that's not what he was brought here to be. He was brought here to be that third guy, not to be the second guy, which he has to be because Ben is not there.
So final one, and then we'll get to Derek on it. He said something last week after a game where he didn't play all that well, and he brought up the COVID part where he mm-hmm. said fans don't care about your health and well-being. I'm not speaking verbatim because I don't have exactly what he said, but I know that when he said it, he was talking about fans don't, they don't worry about that. They don't worry about when you go home, your health, your family, all that stuff. And me and you have talked a lot about this basketball stuff, and Tobias Harris off the air, but I thought he was kind of using that as an excuse, mm-hmm. and you know how I am with players. I don't typically go there, but I thought he was using it as an excuse, except aside from it being what it was in that moment. He didn't play well. Sure, I'm sure he's battling through what he's battling through, just like every other player is, and some can handle it a little better, some can't. There's no knock on you for that. But these were things about Tobias Harris, B, was what I'm saying, before COVID, where, as you said, people were talking about, oh, he's get 28. Hey, I didn't even realize he had 28. So these were conversations that were being had before, that performance that day where he came out afterwards and said that. And I didn't like that because I thought he used that more of an excuse and a way to attack instead of it just being what it was.
Yeah, I mean, as a former player, I would love to hear players just say, I had a bad game. I mean, especially in basketball when you're playing 82 games.
Right.
Today wasn't my day. Tonight, I was just off. I couldn't get my shot off. I went 3 for 15, didn't have a good day. I wish we had more players that said that. We also, as fans, when players just say that, they're always like, well, why tell us more? And they kind of, you wanted to dig a little bit deeper. And I think in Tobias's mind, not trying to speak for him, but I think he's trying to dig deeper. And I think his true fault, his true feelings is that, you know, fans don't, they don't have any appreciation of what the players are going through, especially during these COVID times. And I also understand that. Listen, as bad as things are for the normal public, the players are going through that, you know, just like everyone else.
Yep.
They're going through their family and they got to go perform on the court. And so it's difficult and you get paid very well for that. I understand that, but that doesn't make it any easier. So I think we have to be understanding, but I think the players as a whole have to understand we don't care about that. We just want you to go out there and find a way to win. That's the only thing we care about.
And the other part is when they do, you know, it is said that players like Tobias Harris or Seth Curry last year, when you get it, fans come to their defense. Get well soon, mm-hmm. prayer emojis just directly to support them that, on social media and all that stuff. You forget about that, though, as soon as a bad word comes down at you while you're in the game. And
yeah,
all
because
that,
you, so. You hear the other people. You hear the negative.
Exactly. That's you put everybody in one box. You don't separate the one. Exactly.
But that's what happens. I mean, in my mind, that's a little bit what happened with Ben, too. I mean, he heard the one negative thing that Doc Simmons said. I mean, excuse me.
Doc Rivers said.
That Joel Embiid said. He heard the one negative. Not the support. Not, hey, man, we want to come out there and support you. We want to do everything we can with Danny Green. Said.
All season long.
None of those things. He didn't hear any of those because you kind of expect it. But what you do hear as a player for some of these guys is that you hear the negative thing. And you know, that's the part that you kind of stick to. And then you make up your decisions and your mind up based on those things. And unfortunately, now that puts us in a situation where we need a guy like Ben Simmons, his caliber, number two guy, number one guy on our basketball team, for us to be in the place where we want to be a playoff contender, a high seed in the East, hopefully making it to the championship series. And unfortunately, because we don't have that, and because of some of the things that he was able to listen to and hear instead of ignoring some of those bad things, now we don't have that player on our roster.
Yeah.
And we're looking for different things, and we're looking to try to get more from other guys. And it hasn't worked out in our favor.
Yeah, absolutely. B, let's take Derek in North Philly. He's been waiting a while. He does want to talk about the Sixers and Doc Rivers as well. And by the way, it was $70 million for Iguodala. Then he signed for six for 80, Connor tells us. So, yeah, it is nice, especially when it's all guaranteed, right? Let's go to Derek in North Philly, checking in with Brian Westbrook here on the Mike Misnelli Show. What's up, Derek?
What's going on, man? First of all, Iguodala was worth $10 million. Get out of here. He's
stop.
A bum.
Stop.
You know how I feel about
I
him.
I know, and you know where I'm going to go. Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Hall of Fame for what? For accepting a role off the bench? Get out of here.
Hall of Fame.
Real quick. This city, man, is driving me crazy with this love-hate. When Doc was coaching, when all those the high paid players was out and he had the bench and whoever else was playing, he was coaching everybody. Oh, he can coach great. But then when the big money salary guys get back, all of a sudden it's all out of whack and get rid of Doc Rivers. Which is it? Can Doc Rivers coach? Can he coach? Like, we don't give nobody a chance to do anything here. They want to now Tobias. And I hear man, Mike's my boy. I hear him talking about Matisse Thybulle should score more. That's not what he does. We expect them to do, like you say, do things that they're not, that's not their thing. I don't care. That's why I don't think they should have nobody's salaries out there at all, because that's all everybody say. He makes $1 million. He makes $40 billion. So what?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, that's exactly what I'm saying. We want these players to be something that they're not. And unfortunately, the situation, we want them to be able to step up. And it kind of makes sense that they would step up and be something a little bit different. But if they were that guy, if they were had that potential, if Tobias had the potential to be a number two guy, which we want him to be at this point throughout his career, then he wouldn't be here in Philadelphia right now. He would be going to the guy somewhere else. But right now, he's a number three. He's a three. He's a third person on a team. And that's his role. That's where he's comfortable at. And unfortunately, he's kind of been thrust into a different role here because of the absence of Ben Simmons.
Right, and that's the thing. Ben Simmons is not here. So would he have been better here to get us to the playoffs and then adjust the time, playing time with him, not on the court? But they see where it's missing. Everybody, oh, we don't need him. We got Maxie. Maxie is nice, but Maxie is not a point guard. It's a difference. And that's what you try to explain to people that don't understand the game. And I just had a question for you, Westbrook, about you see how they practice now in football, right? Do you think that's a part of these quarterbacks not
being on time with the receivers because they don't practice. All I see is stretching and hopping across the field, no hitting or nothing like that. What's going on with that?
Well, I think they, you know,
thanks
the
for the call,
I
Derek.
Do think
Merry
they
Christmas.
Do, and that's a really good question. I think they do spend some time, especially with 7-on-7. So, I mean, every day they're going to have 7-on-7, whether it's Wednesday you're going to have, you know, your regular, you know, your first down type of 7-on-7, second down type of 7-on-7. On Thursdays you usually have red zone and third down 7-on-7. So you're always working on your timing as far as your quarterback receiver. They have the 1-on-1s versus the DBs as well. And so that's something that they're always working on. And you listen, you look around the league, you see some of the best quarterbacks, they're going to be up there. Then you see the rest of the guys, the 15 through 32, and you're like, oh, this guy isn't very good, or he has bad timing. There are some of his throws that aren't very good. And so there are quarterbacks, and I'll use Jalen Hurts for example. There are times where he just looks really good back there in the pocket, strong in the pocket, steps up and throws the ball on a rope. The Dallas Goedert makes great throws. He's on his rhythm is good. His timing is good. He's trusting his protection. Then there's other times where you're like, hold on, man. You can't take that sack. I don't care what you do. You can't take that sack. Mm-hmm. You got to get rid of the ball. You got to trust your protection. And so the difference between the great quarterbacks, Mahomes and Rodgers, they know where stuff is. Brady, they know where stuff is coming from before the snap. And they're able to say, okay, I know this guy's going to be there. I'm going to get the ball out of my hands in rhythm. And the other guys, just they don't have that same type of forethought as well as rhythm. And because of that, we've suffered just a little bit. And that's how interceptions and turnovers actually happen. We saw that on the fumble from Jalen Hurts this past game, holding on to the football a little bit too long. And it's time to get rid of the ball. You know, you got to the 3-second mark, and it's time to get rid of the football. And he held on to it. He obviously got sacked and fumbled right there.
Yeah, so a final one for us, man, and we'll let you get to your Christmas Eve doings. What are you expecting this weekend against the Giants?
I think the Eagles roll. I really do. I think that the Giants are a wounded animal right now, you know, injuries, things like that, all different types of stuff. I think the Eagles are in a position where they've gained a bunch of confidence. They get a little confidence. It's weird how the Pro Bowl voting and even a short week. And a lot of people look at it in negative, and it is negative in a way because you don't get as much rest. But the other part is that you don't put as much in offensively. You go back to the things that you know very well. And now as a player, I get to go out there and play comfortably because I know these plays. These are my base plays. I know them very well. I'm kind of just going out there and using my athletic ability. And I think the Eagles are a better football team. And because of that, they'll go out there and win this game. And I think they roll against the Giants, especially at home. All payback right. Victory.
Exactly. Payback in a big day, hopefully, for Jalen Hurts. But don't forget about the running game. B, right. You being at the game? You be at the game Sunday?
Yeah, I'll be at the game, brother.
I won't be there because I'll be doing pregame at the studio instead of South Philly. So, you know, it's just going to be too much. Okay. But maybe we can catch up for that Dallas game. If not, anyway, I'll reach out to you for Thursday as well.
We'll do it again, brother. Good Merry to see Christmas. You. Good to talk to you. Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy holidays, and please enjoy your day.
Tell everybody I said hello, man. Thanks, man.
We'll do, brother.
Merry All Christmas. Right, Brian Westbrook joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. When guests join us on the Comcast Business Hotline, got to tell you, Comcast Business, every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. What's next? Devin, Heavy, Mike, and some Birds talk, as well as Sixers conversation. Connor Thomas and I with you here. Dylan McKinnon. Final hour for the Mike Misnelli Show on the other side, right here on this Football Friday, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
O'clock hour. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Hope you're all safe, all good. Great to catch up with Brian Westbrook for the that went fast.
I mean, it always flies.
And look, I'm so used to working with Brian from our years together. We think we've done, what, 3-4 years of pregame shows together, so it's easy. We talk anyway off the air, so that's just a regular conversation for us, and it just rolls.
Yeah, think about how long you can be on the phone with one of your boys forever, one of your like family members, anything like that. Like, hours go by, no problem. That's what Brian is. He feels like family when you have him on, you know?
It's very easy. Always easy to talk to Brian Westbrook. So we appreciate him for hanging out with us on this Christmas Eve. He could have decided to take the day off, but he said, no, I'm hanging out. And that's what we did. Hope you all enjoyed the conversation, both football and basketball-wise. The 5 o'clock hour is brought to you by Gaida Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest free. Call Gaida Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GAIDA or visit GOGUIDA.com. All right, there you go. We'll get our Twitter poll shortly, or you want to do it now?
We'll do it on the back end because we're going to have it final on the back end of this.
That's
next
a good
break.
Point. We got a whole half hour, so let's do the Twitter poll update. In the five
and no sound off, obviously, and today no with Mike off. And Ty in general.
Yeah, we can do sound off, but
we can see if there's anything in there.
No, that's all good. I'm saying we could do it. We react well to things.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, next time. We'll all do right. it next time. We'll catch up next time. 610-632-0975. And we got a lot of tweets, too. We haven't gotten to any of those, but let's run through the phone calls and have a good conversation with everybody on this Christmas Eve. No one's really telling us what they're doing out there. We see the cars rolling by on City Ave.
Well, you know what it is.
What?
Nobody wants their significant other, their family members here, and that you
tell
waited
us.
This long to get the gifts.
Yeah.
We're getting fake names, I'm sure. Like, I don't want the wife to know. I don't want the kids to know. I'm just getting this stuff last second for them so they don't want to implicate themselves. Like, what do you mean? No, I'm just going out to get milk.
Fair enough.
I did all my shopping.
Fair enough. You also had some news for the Christmas Day game?
Yeah, so KD, who was potentially going to clear protocols for the Nets, he is out tomorrow for Brooklyn.
Wow.
So we're expecting him to see him when the Sixers get up there, obviously, but
Brooklyn.
For tomorrow he's out.
Brooklyn, Thursday, bus trip, me and you, everybody, make sure you check us out. I'll be up there, Philly Sports Trips, we'll have you all set. Go to phillysportstrips.com, check it out, Sixers and the Nets on Thursday. And we are traveling, taking a bus trip up there. If it's a last-minute Christmas gift you didn't know, you're like, oh, man, I'm scrambling. I forgot to get this for my brother. Or you wanted one more thing for your spouse or your significant other. Philadelphia bus trip. Philly Sports Trips. We're going up to Brooklyn to see the Nets and the Sixers. And I just kind of pulled Brian Westbrook in it.
He was very easy to go along
of
with
course.
That. He's like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem.
Listen, I'm coming. I'm on my way. All right, I'll be there. See? That's all I got to do. It's my man. It's my guy. So very easy. Very easy does it. I don't know how we'll get that done, but Brian said he'll be there. And I'll take it. I haven't seen my man in like a month. So, yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's get to the phones. 610-632-0975. Eagles Giants Sunday pregame show. 10 a.m. on Sunday. We'll be here in studio because of everything that's going on with the holidays. So we're not on location. We're back at the studio. Derek Gunn and myself will be here from 10 to 1. I'll get underway at 9 a.m. to start off at 9. And then we'll do the hour solo and have all that stuff done. Paul Nolan, the Free Winners, will join me at 9:30. And then at 10 o'clock, we'll start things off. By the way, 6 o'clock, Free Winners will be here on the Fanatic, carrying you until 7. And then we'll go into syndication. And, of course, everybody, Merry Christmas at that point. Devin in Woodbury Heights has been waiting patiently. So, Devin, we check in with you next. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, guys. I'm on my way back from visiting my dad in Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was nice. It's not bad, though. It was only like an hour and some change.
No traffic right now?
Not absolutely none, actually.
Really?
Yeah. It took me an hour to get from Baltimore. Like an hour and 10 minutes to get from Baltimore to Jersey.
Mm. How's that? Everybody's good?
Everybody's good. Everybody's healthy. Kids healthy and everybody. It's nice seeing them.
Fantastic.
I got a quick question for you before I go on. Say, you know Tobias Harris making all this. How many times do you think he scored over 30 points with the Sixers? If you had a guess.
If I had to guess, I would say 7.
7?
Well, it's 12.
Okay.
It's 12.
All right, so
it really isn't irrelevant, but it's there. Like, dude, I went to the game yesterday. I am just like, I'm like, dude, they're not even fun to watch, bro. And I die for the Sixers, bro. Ever since Game 7 happened, it's never been the same. After that Game 7 Hawks series, it's never been the same. And I can guarantee 90% of the city feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it just feels like a dark cloud, man. It's just like so gloomy. Like, it's just so sad.
Yeah, it was a tough one. It was a tough one last night to watch. And a lot of people last night, were talking about, and they said this, so I'll just repeat it, that this team is just not fun to watch anymore. They're boring.
They're not.
And they're not fun. And I know Simmons and his style of play has a lot to do with it, just to be perfectly honest.
Yep, and his defense, because our perimeter defense is atrocious, bro. Because you got to think, Maxey and Curry, man, They can't run the backcourt together. They're too small, and they get killed on pick and rolls, all sets, all switches. They're just getting killed. You know what I mean? Like, that backcourt's too small, man. Like, we really need somebody. We need a point guard, surprisingly. Like, we need a star point guard. But, dude, it's even our role players. They're just not hitting shots. And what else do you want Embiid to do? Everybody's trying to lay it on Embiid. He leads the league in clutch shots, clutch points, and like
I didn't know that for a while. Yeah, I was surprised.
8.3, and second is LeBron, and I think KD
at like six point something. Yeah.
Yeah, it dropped yesterday, obviously, but like, dude, like our role, it's just not good, man. Just not good fundamental basketball. You can look at Golden State, look at Phoenix, their role players. Yeah, they got Devin Booker, Chris Paul, like they got a little big three, but their role players, they step up every single night and make shots and play defense. Why can't we have that, man? Like, I'm just so frustrated, bro. I went to the game yesterday. Everybody in the crowd chanting trade Tobias while he's at the free throw line shooting the free throws. Like, and then them excuses, bro.
Oh, that's what they were saying when he was at the foul line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then,
I didn't hear that.
Like, them excuses after the game. Like, granted, I know we got COVID, but, bro, you've been doing this for a while now. 6-20 in the playoffs. 2-18, like, bro, don't start making that an excuse now, bro, because you've been doing this, and you just, like, he just goes off too soft, man, too soft, and we need some change, man, because they are not fun to watch at all.
Yep.
Like, for real.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, drive safe, Dev, get back, and Merry Christmas, me. Thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, bro.
You got it, man. By the way, let me give you some news before we get to Heavy and Mike and everybody else. 610-632-0975. Let me start with the Celtics, because that was on Monday. Tim Bontemps is stating that the Celtics announced Bruno Fernando, CJ Miles, who just got there on a 10-day contract for that Sixer game, Enes Freedom and Justin Jackson also just got there on Monday for the Sixers game, have all entered the health and safety protocol since Wednesday night's game against Cleveland. Sixers played them on Monday. Now, for Atlanta, 2 hours ago, Woj tweeted out, after playing one day on a 10-day deal, Atlanta's Wes Awundu has entered COVID protocols. He played 23 minutes last night here in Philadelphia against the Sixers. And now, Onyeka Okongwu is now in the health and safety protocols. So that's 9 total for the Hawks. They play the Knicks tomorrow afternoon on Christmas Day. And they just played the Sixers. So, like, naturally it says, it's going to hit the Sixers again.
Yeah, I mean, it looks that way. It's a bad situation for the NBA right now. And for the Sixers as well. Like, everyone's getting roped up in it. These teams play every other night.
Yes.
They're traveling across the country every other night. Like, yeah. It's going to be very hard to contain this.
There is a domino effect.
Yeah.
One gets it, the other gets it, then the other gets it, and I don't know.
Now, I mean, that game very well could not happen tomorrow for Christmas. And you know the NBA will do everything possible to make it happen, but it's going to be tough to make that one go.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Sixers next play Washington 6 o'clock on Sunday here on the Fanatic as they go on the road for a couple during the Disney on Ice road trip here. So they have Washington on Sunday at 6 o'clock. pregame coverage. I'll have it for you starting at 5:50, but the game is at 6 on Sunday. Good times. Good times. Heavy in Huntington Valley checking in with us here. Have Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, bro.
Thank you.
What's, dude, this is just like crazy, you know, with this COVID stuff. It's never going to end. You know, they're going to have to figure out a way to, you know, I mean, all of us, we're going to eventually have to figure out a way to live with this. You know, we can't just, you know, continuously, you know, seize everything, you know, for, you know, guys, you know, getting sick. And mainly it's just, you know, non-symptomatic stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's, what are you going to do? But, I mean, dude, we've had so many conversations previously about, you know, Ben Simmons. I mean, they got to get rid of this guy. And what I find really funny is how, you know, how his mental state is somehow going to be immediately repaired the second he gets onto a different team. He's somehow going to be able to play. I think there needs to be some kind of stipulation where if you say that you're mentally ill and cannot perform so you can still get your paycheck, you know, you can't just, you know, go to a new team and then start playing them. Like, that's wrong, because number one, you know, you're just screwing over the team that you're on. And number two, you're pretty much just making light of a serious thing that I honestly think that these athletes with the mental illness, I think it's gone way too far. You know, I think it's, you know, I think it's good that, you know, you're bringing to light that people struggle from, you know, mental disease, but I think how it's gone is going on the completely wrong way. You know, you're pretty much, instead of making the example of, you know, oh, I have, you know, I struggle from mental disease just like a lot of people, but I strive, you know, I'm able to overcome it. A lot of these people are like, oh, I have mental disease. I'm an athlete. So I should, you know, everyone should feel sorry for me. And I just think that's wrong.
And then, of course, we don't know the full extent of everything. At this point, all we can do is just go off what he says. Now, whether you believe him or not, we have to take him at his word, just because that's what he's going with.
What I'd like to know is, has he actually been evaluated by someone?
Yeah, he's speaking to the MBPA's therapist.
The MBA.
Yeah, and that was part of this Sixers issue. They just wanted to know what some of the stuff was coming out of it, how things were going. And, they were going with the patient confidentiality aspect of things. And right now, they seem to be at least sharing information.
I think this whole mental illness stuff has gone just way too far. Because, you know, at the end of the day, like, the only people that are able to do this, where they can say, oh, I'm struggling mentally and not show up for work, are athletes. You know, like, if you want to, if you're working some, you know, some regular job, you can't just, like, tell your boss, oh, I can't come in for the next, like, you know, month or so because I'm struggling with mental disease. They're going to find somebody to replace you. And somebody needs to come out and say that this isn't right.
And listen, people have already stated here on the station, callers, hosts, that they don't necessarily buy what Ben Simmons is selling because it seems convenient. I'm not one of them, Hev. Merry Christmas, man. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. I'm just not one of them. While I have my reservations about things, for example, I think that if he would trade it tomorrow, he would be ready to play. And does that mean that he's not mentally capable of taking the floor for the Sixers right now? Maybe. But I'm in my right mind to believe that Connor, he would play if he's traded to the Toronto Raptors right away.
Yeah, absolutely. And that doesn't mean what he's saying is completely untrue. Like, taking the floor for the Philadelphia 76ers right now, if you're Ben Simmons, would be a whole lot different than taking the floor in Toronto as a new trade piece that could help him. So I can't say I just flat out don't trust the guy, but at the same time, it's very hard to see what's going on behind the scenes. We only get so much information as fans, even people who cover the sport, only get so much information, especially when it comes to the mental health aspect, and especially even more when it comes to this Ben Simmons situation. So I agree with you. I think he would play tomorrow if he was on another team. What that means as far as the validity of his statement,
yeah,
that's for other people to determine. But, yeah, it's an interesting situation.
It really is, man. It really is. And look, I've said it many times. I've always been a Ben Simmons fan from day one. Supported, backed him, fought with people. And we all know who we all are as we battled over the years about Ben Simmons and me and my support of him. Would he help this team right now? 100%. 100%. Even when he's not all the way in it, he would help. He really would. But I just don't see a way that he can come back.
I mean, he
really don't.
He's too far gone. He's been too far gone for months now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really don't. Let's go back to the phone, 610-632-0975. On this Christmas Eve here on 97.5 The Fanatic, Mike in Horsham with us. Mike, is it busy up in Horsham?
No, the streets are empty. Thank you for taking my call.
Merry Christmas, Mike.
Merry Christmas to you and everyone there in the studio.
Thank you.
I just want to say I want my Eagles to be 10-7. I don't care if we don't make the playoffs. I want to be 10-7. And if we draft, Jalen Hurts is my guy. Defense, defense, defense. But about Ben Simmons, I would take him back. You know what? Let's just hug. Let's play. I don't care if we have to increase the salary. Let's keep him. I mean, nobody wants him, so we may as well play with him. Can we bring him back?
I think he could be brought back, but is he fit to accept what comes to him the first times he steps on the floor as a member of the team here in town? I don't know that he's ready for that.
I would take him back. I hope he's listening. I would take him back. Let's just ball. Let's ball. Let's get your assists up. Let's slam dunk. I don't care if he doesn't shoot. Just play defense, give assists, and slam the ball. The end. I'm playing some defense.
And see, here's the other part of it, which is the fact that if he feels the way he feels, Mike, is he going to come back out there and just – because the team has said all along, we want him back.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that.
Yep, they've said it all along, want him back.
Damn, okay. Well, he's welcome to come back. I watch him from my TV in the household. He's welcome back. I'm going to let you go. Thank you for having me on. I want him back. I hope he hears me.
Got you, Mike. Thank you, man. Be safe. Merry Christmas. You want him back. Ben, you heard him. You heard Mike in Horsham. Lanes are empty in Horsham on 611. Go. Go visit. Have dinner. Break some bread. Talk it out. Play on Sunday against Washington. Then there's a few more games that you can play in after that because it's a road trip. As this is a road trip, everything will be all right. You start off in Washington with your first game. You go to Toronto, although I don't know if it starts now. If you're not vaccinated, you're not allowed to travel across the lines. So I don't know his status. And then on Thursday, we'll be in Brooklyn. You won't have to come home until Monday against the Houston Rockets. And you can feast against that garbage team. You heard Mike in Horsham. He wants you back. So are so many others. We had some Sharp called in earlier. Wants you back. Who else was it? Was it Jay? Maybe Jay. No, but see, I don't know. Washington, Toronto, Brooklyn, Ben Simmons. Mike wants you back on the team. So do the Sixers.
Yeah, do you think Doc shows up at his house tomorrow, does the Love Actually note cards?
Well, he said he just talked to him. Said he recently talked to him. Seemed like he's okay. All is good. That's encouraging.
That is. I don't think it happens. But.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's encouraging, but is he actually going to do anything about it? Oh, man. They got Washington, Toronto, Brooklyn. That's your next three. Come home for one on January 3rd, Houston. Wednesday, January 5th at Orlando. Is that the trip with the Philly Sports Trips? Let me see. See if there are any other Orlando games. No, they have one in March. I think it's actually the March one. Well, you can check out phillysportstrips.com. Check it out. You can also book your trip for Thursday to Brooklyn. I'll be with you. San Antonio on Friday, January 7th. That's going to be a fun game. Why? Because DeJounte Murray is a name that's been brought up since the offseason. A lot of people interested. I checked in with some people that I've talked to around league circles and also know San Antonio very well. They felt like at the time, which was like 3 months ago, San Antonio is not ready to come off of him. There's no way he is moved now because he's playing so well. He might be an all-star, DeJounte Murray. So, I don't know, man.
It's weird. You expect, in some ways, the market's getting bigger. In other ways, some of these guys have played themselves out of a Ben Simmons deal. It's interesting. It's constantly shifting.
It is constantly shifting, no doubt. All right, we shift to a commercial break, our final break, and our final segment, Black Gritty, Eric. There are others who are there actually talking to Dylan right now. So we'll get to everybody when we come back. We'll run through the phone calls, 25 minutes commercial free. This is the Mike Missinelli Show on a football Friday on The Fanatic, which is brought to you by Pump Man Philly. Need a water pump expert for your facility? Don't want to have any issues over the holiday season? Contact Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. Connor Thomas, Devon Givens, final segment, Dylan McKinnon here as well. We'll get to y'all when we get back. Talking some birds, too. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone.
Devon Givens. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, it is. The final segment for us on this Christmas Eve. We hope you are all safe, out of the way now, got everything done, and ready to head home to get that Christmas Eve dinner in. Hang out with the family. No sports tonight, so you get to watch some, no pro sports in town and none in the NBA, NFL tomorrow. Get to hang out and just chill and everybody, you know, relax. So I hope everyone is good. Hope everyone is safe out there. Again, Merry Christmas to all who have been hanging out with us today. Really appreciate it. So it's a good day. It's a good day.
Absolutely. Christmas Eve always is, right?
So I saw that Jamie said earlier, Christmas Eve, he likes Christmas Eve more than he likes Christmas because it's just the anticipation of leading up to Christmas, which is exciting.
Right, and the hanging out with the family and friends all come over on Christmas Eve. Like, the Christmas morning is normally the immediate family that lives in the household.
Yeah.
And maybe later on Christmas, some people go and spend time, but, like, the Christmas Eve is the real, like, the family in the area comes by, you get some drinks together, you get some good food together. I agree with him on that. I'm a big Christmas Eve guy, too.
Christmas Eve's not bad. It's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. I got to run out of here, too, as soon as we're done.
Yeah.
Rolling out of here. Rolling out of here. By the way, starting at 6, it will be free winners here for the 6 o'clock hour, and then we'll head into the night. We'll head into the night. Really appreciate it. And let's get back to the phones. Get the black. No. We doing it?
Do that here. Why not?
Black Gritty, Eric, hang on. We want to get to our final Twitter poll question and results. The final poll numbers are powered by Moyer.com. Make sure your gear is ready for whatever winter brings. Powered by Moyer.com carries thousands of OEM and aftermarket parts and accessories for outdoor power equipment for brands like Husqvarna, Honda, MTD, and more. Order online at poweredbymoyer.com. What are the final Twitter results on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks, Devon. Our final results on this poll, over 1,500 votes on this one, so plenty of responders. Does Tobias Harris catch too much heat in Philadelphia? Well, 71% of those responders said no. He does not catch too much. Not enough.
Tobias, we tried. We tried to help. But we brought some attention to it. But we tried to help. Man.
The people are being rough, even on Christmas Eve.
Even on Christmas
Eve. This time of year, people still mad at Tobias for his performance.
Wow. Man. Interesting. Okay. All right. There you have it. The people have spoken. How many votes was it again?
We have literally 1,501 votes.
1,501. All right. There you go. All right. Let's go to Black Gritty, see what's going on in the streets on Christmas Eve, try to figure out how to help and get the presents and all the things done. Black Gritty, Merry Christmas.
Simmons, come back. I was wrong, and we cannot win without you. That's how people sound calling
it. What's the song? What's the song? You ever watch Transformers? And yeah. He did the Bumblebee was on the speaker, started playing "Baby Come Back." That's it.
That's Simmons, come back! Come on, man. He ain't never walking through that door as a Sixer again. Nah. He might come in as an opponent.
You know he's gonna come in and try to put
calling a sick day. You know what I'm saying?
I think he's gonna try to do a 50 spot on the Sixers his first time back in town.
Oh man, again. I wish for the day. I would love that. People would call and cry about the booing, and guess what? We're fanatics, and we're not the one. People say Phillies fans are the worst. Like, I watch many a sport. Saints putting bags over their heads, Lions, all. I mean, fans have been bad throughout history because that's what they get to do, right? We get to cheer you on and support you, and when you're bad, we get to boo you. It just is what it is. So, Ben, when Ben comes back here, oh, it's going to be Armageddon out here. So, I'd love to see it because the drama of sports, but I don't think he's ever going to play for us again. And that's just I've accepted it. It just is what it is. Mm-hmm. But going forward, man, like I'm just trying to be patient. I can't pull my hair out until he makes some moves. I love Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris is a great human being. Like he's a truly wonderful man. Everything I read about him, everything I hear about him. But I don't know if he's not being used properly. I don't know what's going on. But he's not consistent enough, and that's without me talking about the money. Right now, he was getting paid $10 million. I mean, as a starter, I mean, you still ain't getting it done. Some games you're out here throwing up 5 points, 3 points, 2 points. Like, I mean, the money just makes it more amped up for people to get mad. But sometimes his performance alone, no matter what he's getting paid, is not what we need. You know what I'm saying? So it is more glaring now that Ben's not there, you know, running directly to the hole and then dishing a ball out to open Tobias for his mid-range jumper. I understand that things are hurting this game, but, you know, being a nice guy isn't going to help save him. I think Morey's going to trade him. He's got to. He's seeing what we all see. We all see the same thing. So
yeah, I think that, again, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Tobias Harris trade happened before a Simmons deal did for me personally.
Yeah. And why can't we just get, like, a Christmas shutdown? Like, I mean, everybody got COVID. Just, I mean, shut the thing down for 10 days. Like, just get everybody 10 days. Now you're pulling dudes up. They got a 10-day contract. Can't even get 2 days in on the 10 days, and they got it through.
Yeah, the 10-day guys come in. They get it immediately. And now with the Hawks players getting it, now we got to pay attention to see if the Sixers add any more to their list because you just played them.
And I'm sitting there watching Sirianni go over there with no mask on and go ahead and go hug up with Rivera trying to pull his shirt up over, like, dude, like, we've been doing this too long for you not to understand. You need to be masked up. And they're grown men. They're getting paid a lot of money. They need to start putting the rules back in place more strictly, just because, especially because you're trying to get through it, right? Like, forget what your political scheme is. Yo, put the mask on when you're on the sidelines. And guess what? Air five after games. Mail me the jersey swap. Ain't no more shaking hands after the games right now until we get some kind of control. But they won't do that, right? They just out here willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're
bringing you back a little bit earlier because they're saying if you're not dealing with symptoms, you can now go out there and play.
But then you give it to somebody else, and then they get tested, they get put out for the protocol, right?
So what is it, so the symptoms? I think it's the symptoms, but you are vaccinated and you have the booster shot as well.
Yeah, so you're asymptomatic, but that's my point, right? So let's say I don't have it, and you do, but you're clear because you don't have symptoms. And then I play you, then I get it. Now they got to hold me out until they find out if I've got symptoms or not, right? Mm. So that's what I mean. It's just,
going, and then now dudes are getting his second time around already. It's just too much, man. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas to everybody. Merry Christmas to you. I hope you done shopping, because if you ain't, it's cash only now, brother.
Hey, man, Merry Christmas. Thank you. Merry Christmas, brother. Appreciate it, man. No doubt about it, man. Merry Christmas. Yeah, I'm done. It's all good, man. It's all good. We're all good this way. All good this way. No doubt. Let's get Eric in West Hampton up here with us next. Eric, Merry Christmas to you.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, too. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. No problem.
So the reason I called, a couple callers ago, that last guy was really good, though. That was a good call, I got to admit. Yeah. I'm not from the area. I listen all the time. I'm a sports fan. I'm not going to tell you where I'm from because you probably hate me. It's Pittsburgh. That's okay. I live in Jersey. Been here a long time. The reason I'm calling, there was like three callers ago who was talking about mental health issues and all that with Ben Simmons. I really had a problem with that whole issue with him. Like, listen, I wear a wristband that has 22 a day on it. 22 soldiers a day commit suicide. It's you know what I mean? Like, those type of issues are not dealing with what he's dealing with. Okay, like, I get it. Like, there's a lot of pressure. You're playing in Philly. Yeah, well, that's what you signed up for. That's what you spent your whole life trying to do. And because you couldn't make a layup or whatever your deal was, now you're claiming you got mental health issues. I got a problem with that. I don't have a problem with mental health issues because they exist and they're real. But I feel like, you know, like, putting him in that category, to me, and I'm not a Sixers fan. I'm not a Phillies fan at all. I'm just saying, this guy, for him to say, "Oh, I got a mental health," like, that to me is offensive. Like, that's all. That's all I wanted to say. Like, no, there are really people that have issues.
And that's why I said we try to stay away from saying that he does or doesn't have it, because all we can go off of is him saying that he is dealing with something,
right?
Whether you believe him or not, the fact of the matter is, we have to go with what he said.
I understand that, but like, that was my issue. And listen, I wish him the best. I really do. I'm not saying anything bad about him, but like, you know, look in the mirror or go out and meet some other people that really got bad issues. And maybe, you know, maybe you'll be able to make that dunk instead of pass it, you know. And I'm not even an NBA fan or anything. Obviously, I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm a Steeler fan. I'm a football fan. But I listen to you guys all the time. That's why I like you. I listen to you because you give the truth. Like Mike Messinelli, like every show you have gives the, like, really just like straight up like sport fan like truth. And that's why I like listening. And that's why I like listening to you. I think you're great.
Thank you so much.
You know, but I just had a problem with that. That's all. Listen, I wish him the best, and thank you for listening to me. I'll get off my soapbox, and I wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and I hope that I know you're running out of there like you just said. Run out of there. Be safe and
have
a good night.
You too. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it, man. Always, right. No matter who you root for, we want everybody to have a happy, safe, and healthy Merry Christmas and a happy holiday, happy New Year, and all of that. So, of course, no doubt.
Yeah, well, healthy for everybody. The Cowboys fans can be a little sad, but we want them to be healthy, too.
So I did want to, before we get to some of these tweets that we had a lot, I did want to let everybody know what our schedules are tomorrow. Next week, you as well. I'll be on the midday show all week next week. So I'll be 10 to 2 next week in for Anthony on the Fanatic. And I'll be with Andrew, I think, Tuesday through Thursday, and Tom Monday and Friday. I'm not 100% sure, but I will be in 10 to 2 on the midday show next week. And again, during the Philly sports trips to Brooklyn for the Sixers game on Thursday night. So we'll have a good week. Have a good week. What are you up to? That'd are you back fun. On the morning show?
So I'm actually, for the first time in the calendar year, I'm not doing the morning show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm going to be, Monday, Tuesday. Monday, I'm with Tyrone. It's just me and him running together 2 to 6
nice.
In the normal Mike Messinelli slot. Okay. Wednesday or Tuesday, it's going to be me, him, and Jen.
Nice.
So, and then Wednesday, I'll be doing it with him and Jen as well, but I'll also be doing mornings with Tyler Zuli.
Okay.
So, nice. Double duty on Wednesday, but the first 2 days, I get to actually sleep in.
That's
normally,
awesome.
It's morning show and then Mike's, but.
That's awesome.
So, I'll be sleeping until probably 1 o'clock when I have to get up and come over here.
Yeah. Well, I definitely appreciate you doing double duty today.
No problem.
You were with the morning
man.
Show this morning, and choosing to hang out with me and Dylan today. So thank you, man. Really
of course. Dude,
always
no
good
problem.
To hang out. Always good to hang out.
I don't get to see you enough. So
no,
this
we don't
is great.
See each other a lot. So yeah, this is pretty cool. All right, let's get to some of these tweets here before we get out of here. Again, free wins coming up at 6 o'clock, and we want to make sure we get there on time. Dylan's here as well. Stacy on Twitter, QuietStorm12 says, yeah, D, I can see the protocol thing hitting the Sixers again with more guys with the news, unfortunately, now coming out. So it's only right to assume that it's going to hit your team. You hope it doesn't, but you just had direct contact with these players, two of them now added to the Atlanta's list of seven, now nine, and their TV analysts, and this is what it is. So it's only fair to think that it's now going to get you.
Yeah, it would be preposterous if it doesn't, and we hope it doesn't, but that would be the wild scenario out of the two options.
Yep, absolutely. Jay Callen, 27, Philly fan, says, not enough blame for Tobias Harris. And simple.
How much more can he get?
More.
He's already wearing a
more,
lot.
Let me
right
tell
now,
you, because here's more. Philly fan for life, 8. More. D, neither Harris or Rivers get enough blame. This team obviously needs more talent, more shooters and threes that can score. Basketball is global. What are the scouts doing? D, what is Rivers' offensive philosophy? Well, he's a defensive guy. So it's more on everyone else, and Dave Yeager was the architect of the offense for things. Now, I do know this, that they love for Embiid to get the touches first, and they love for Tobias Harris to then also get the ball quickly, quick decisions, make his move, whatever needs to happen, and not have the ball just stagnant. Action, action, action. But it starts with Joel Embiid. So that is the offensive philosophy really for it. Doc Rivers. The mentor mogul, Tanya, says, I think Tobias has been the most impacted by Ben's absence. He's being asked to do too much, not getting good shots. I think he's getting good shots. He's asked to create more of his own shots.
Yeah, and he's not really that shot creator guy at that level we want him to be. To be a number two, to Joe, like, he's not that level of shot creator.
And here's the other part of what he's doing now as the number two is, if Simmons drew the best wing defender on that night, or Curry, defensively, the guys now step up to Harris, where they don't have to worry about him. And sure, they'll have to defend Maxey, and they have to defend Curry and Green out there on the floor as well. But he might draw that assignment now where Durant has him versus Durant having Ben Simmons instead.
Yeah, it makes life much tougher on the offensive end.
Yeah, Jamal Parker, 73, says, couldn't call D, couldn't call at work. Well, Maul, hope you have a great one. Merry Christmas. He says, great show, Merry Christmas. Harris stinks. I'm sorry. I'm reading it. I didn't expect. All right, let me start over. Harris stinks. Hurts is going to play in the Pro Bowl, and we're still unsure about him. Great show, Merry Christmas. Well, it's a popularity contest for the voting and all with the NFL Pro Bowl selections. I still don't think he's a Pro Bowler. I just don't.
No, I mean, the eye test tells you that.
Right. But hey, he could make it to the Pro Bowl as an alternate. Someone bows out. Someone's not available because they're playing in a NFC championship or the Super Bowl, and he can't make it. I don't even know the date of the Pro Bowl because we don't care anymore.
Yeah, no clue. It's in Vegas, I think.
Yeah, it's in Vegas. Yeah. So that's going to be different versus Florida or Hawaii, where it was when I was a kid all the time, when it was fun for people.
The Hawaii Pro Bowls were awesome.
Yeah, not anymore. So, yeah, still unsure. But look, as long as he plays well going forward with these last three games and maybe a playoff berth, he's the quarterback next year until they find a deal that works best for them. The Harris thinks part was just great. I'm sorry.
It
caught me off guard. Patrick P. Campbell, 82, says, no, Tobias Harris is, you know, does he catch too much heat? No. He has a supermax salary and isn't even a legit number two. He can't carry the team for a few games if Embiid is out.
I think that's fair criticism.
Okay. Ibn Malik, Bernice's boy, 73, says, nah, to whom much is given. All right. J-West, 869. He's getting a max deal, and he's mediocre at best. But it's not his fault. They gave him the money.
Now, he's not mediocre at best. But, like, when you see the max deal, it forces you into that spot. You got to be great. He hasn't been great.
If the money wasn't there, I think the people would feel the same way.
Yeah, probably.
If he was 4 for $80 and making only $20 million a year, people would still say, this guy stinks.
To a lesser extent, I think.
Yeah, because less people can't lean on the money.
Right, exactly.
They'll just simply point out the play and not having the secondary part, which is he makes this much money.
Right, it's not so much the money to me, it's the not being the third piece.
Like, I avoid the money at this point. I just simply say, all right, you didn't play a good game.
Yeah.
Simple. Simple. Right.
Could be paying you $1. If we don't win and you don't play well,
that's it. Bill Rubber says he don't get enough blame. Simple enough. Corey X Culture, Tobias is a solid player and a good third option. They can't seem to get over his contract. Last year, he was a borderline all-star and Sixers were the number one seed and the same people were praising him. That's Corey's point.
Yeah, I mean, they can flip-flop on you fast, but before him being that fringe all-star, people were on this already.
Same deal.
Yeah,
absolutely. I don't know how to pronounce this, but just underscore Hyena 18. Yes and no. He's just not consistent enough for my liking or aggressive when attacking the rim. Goes up too soft at times.
Yeah,
I can see that.
We heard the too soft from one of our callers earlier too. So
Wavy,
Devin in Woodbury Heights.
Right, right. Wavy Dad one. No, when you're the highest paid on the team, you should be the difference maker and most involved in everything the team does. Imagine a quarterback stinking it up, but it's the running back that goes for 150 with the two touchdowns fault.
Yeah, well, it's different because Embiid's always going to be that guy, and like the way the Supermax works in the NBA, it's a little different. But still, the point stands. In generality, he's got to be more involved.
Yeah. Final one so we can get out of here. JFox83 says, it comes with the max contract he signed. If you want to be paid like one of the best, you better play that way. Those are the expectations, whether anyone thinks it's fair or not. There you have it. Everyone out there, thank you so much for listening, calling, tweeting. However you got involved, we really appreciate it. Have a safe Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you for always being there for me during the full year. I always enjoy this. You always make it very easy. So Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Thanks to Brian Westbrook, Dylan McKinnon for hanging around with us as well. And Connor, again, good to be with you again, man. Merry Christmas to you.
Of course. Merry Christmas to you too, dude. Appreciate you having me.
Free Winners is coming up next. I'll be back on Sunday, 9 a.m. For Eagles and Giants. Pregame at 10 with Derek Gunn. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe. Merry Christmas to you all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.